Oh my God, this is terrific.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, May 29th, 2025. This is your award-winning Kippa Nation Media Assassination, episode 1768.
This is No Agenda.
And we have a winner! And we're broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're wishing John F. Kennedy a happy birthday. He'd be a spry 108. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
A spry 108, really? Hey, we have a winner. We have a new champion. And for the first time in a long time, he's Japanese.
Hold on. A new champion.
Yes. Come on, man. This is your beat.
Sumo?
Yes.
He's won. This, I think, is his fifth tournament. He's won so many times, Ono Sato.
Yes.
That they're going to boost him to Yokozuna, the fastest in history.
But it was always Mongolians who won.
No. There's been a couple of Mongolians recently, but Japanese are more traditionally the winners because there's more of them.
Well, I'm just looking at the AP reports. You're telling me AP is wrong?
Yeah.
According to AP, the big news, he's Japanese because for years, it says, doesn't say how many years, for years, the winner has been Mongolian.
Something like... Yeah, four years, well, to be exact.
Well, there you go, 4 years. I nailed it.
It's because Terunofuji and now this other guy, Hoshororo, his name I can't pronounce, have been Yokozunas, and they're both Mongolians. There's a bunch of Mongolians. Now there's two Ukrainian guys, and one of them is really good.
Keep them out of the sport. Keep them
big,
out.
Big, fat white guys. It's about time.
Get those big, fat white guys out of the sport, man. That's no good. So... Wow, we had forgotten how powerful the rain sticks really are. We got a rain stick ricochet here in Texas after we shook it for the Dutch.
Mimi was telling me about it. She's following the news on following her favorite weather guy.
Yeah, Max Velocity.
Max Velocity. Yeah. Plug him again, plug him again. She begs me.
Really? He's a dweeb.
He's a dweeb.
So we come home from Nashville, Monday afternoon, and we knew there were some storms brewing, you know, so it's okay. And so we come home and we open the suitcases, unpack, and then we said, let's go get some dinner. So now it's about 5:30. We go to the Chinese place, which I discovered only a couple months ago. Been here for 14 years. We independent business. Okay. And then we're in the restaurant. Everybody's phone goes off with an emergency warning. And it's kind of interesting to see it all happen or to hear it all happen in the restaurant.
So you're in a restaurant and a bunch of phones went off.
Everybody's phone. Beep, 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 beep. And Tina's like, should we get it to go? I'm like, no, I look out the window. It's not even raining yet. So we finish our food, take our time. I have my Sapporo beer. We go home. And Phoebe is already looking a little like, So we put the Thunder shirt on her. And she just sits there, but she's looking out the back and she's just staring. And there's this big ominous cloud. Oh, yeah. At this point, Mimi texts me. Mimi never texts me for anything. In fact, I think if something happened to you, she wouldn't text me. She sent me an email. Something wrong with John. And she's like, storm coming your way, Max Velocity. He's always right.
So, got to get to work on another book.
too much velocity.com. So I turn on the YouTubes and I see Max Velocity. And wow, this is pretty big. And then it starts. Golf ball sized hail just pelting the house. I mean, we have a small, I call it a cocktail pool. You can basically stand everywhere and drink. It's like meteorites coming down this thing. And we have a lot of glass in the back. So they're all bouncing off the tiles and against the windows. Phoebe was just sitting there like, I got my Thunder shirt on, I'm good. Tina was nervous.
What was she nervous about?
The windows breaking.
Oh, yeah, it could happen. Well, did you see that one hailstone that was the size of a soccer ball way up north in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
It was the size of a soccer ball.
So then what, after the hailstorm, we have these, lounges, the chaise lounges outside by the pool. The fabric is completely penetrated with, like, Winkelhook tears, just holes in it, just bam, bam, all these hailstones just rip right through the fabric. That's some max velocity right there.
That's some violence.
Yes. Now, the next
day. Did you go outside to experience it? Put a hard hat on and see what it was like?
Hell no. No.
I would have.
No, I don't have a hard hat. It was, John, it was like, no. You were like, yeah. And that, of course, we have a metal roof, which just
you don't have a hard hat.
I do not. You know, I need a hard hat. I think this should be part of my. We should have two in the go bag, just in case.
You should have a couple of hard hats that have the No Agenda sticker right on the front.
Yes, yes, I'm looking for those. So the next morning, it starts at 6 a.m. Text messages, phone calls, guys at the door. You know what they were?
A Bible salesman.
No. Roof damage. We've got you. I'm sure. Yeah. I see you. You have a dent in your gutter. Well, roof. Because this is it's insurance stuff. So they all know that they all know the insurance will pay for it. Now, never mind that if I say go, oh, I'm gonna get a $30,000 roof job, I'll probably get kicked off my insurance. Then we did not have any damage. Yeah, one gutter had a little dent in it. I'm okay. But it was amazing. They were rolling up one after another. You know, just right up there. Hey, you know, I'm here. You could have damage.
That's interesting. Yeah, there'd be an infrastructure for that because you do have that type of weather does happen in Texas a lot.
Yep.
And so you would develop an infrastructure for just that, mm-hmm. just that purpose. And mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
And they must have voter rolls or something because how do they get my, and they're all texting from 830, which is our local area code. Now I have a 650 number. So it's not like they were just spamming 630 numbers. They had me, they know I live here. They have my number and they just,
you should have done some research and found out how they had your number.
I was so annoyed to be honest by everybody.
Oh, you're missing out because this is valuable information.
Yeah.
It may be something we could use to market the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can buy a list. Conspiracy theorists.
I know I can buy a list, but it sounds to me as though that there's some pretty good lists out there.
Well, this was a pretty good list. So anyway, I learned my lesson once. It did rain in Holland, by the way. So the rain stick did work. But man, the ricochet effect was just too crazy.
Yeah, I was against it.
We literally had storm chasers going up and down Main Street of Fredericksburg. I've never seen that before. Yeah, we're here in Fredericksburg and we're on Main Street and it's coming down pretty bad. And max velocity is there. And max velocity is checking everything out. Well, meep, meep, meep. We have another touchdown. We've got another tornado warning. Meep, meep, meep. Oh! I don't think anything actually touched down, but it does freak people out.
Yeah, sure it does. It
freaks people out.
I mean, the hailstorm is one thing, but having your roof ripped off is another thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so last night, we got an email from Steve and Stephanie. Said, hey, we're coming through Texas. I'm doing a show with Lyle, and would love to take you guys out to dinner.
Who's Steve and Stephanie?
Exactly. We met that.
Wow. Well, I walked right into that one.
Yeah. So he said, hey, Jack Steakhouse. You want to go to Steakhouse? Jack Steakhouse. Steve and Stephanie, we met them at the Vegas Super Spreader event back in, I think it was 2021.
Oh.
Remember, it was, everything was locked down. We were all.
Yeah, I remember that.
We were all outside. No one had a mask on. No one got sick. And at this particular meetup, is where we learned from the ventilation trainers, the vent machine trainers, who have a facility in Vegas, we learned from them that, you know, we're killing people. This protocol they're doing on people is wrong. So this is how valuable the No Agenda producers are, and going to meetups. But there were a lot of interesting people at that meetup. Steve is a sound mixer, front of house for bands, and he's currently touring with Lyle Lovett. And Stephanie, for 27 years, I think, or 23 years, has been the head chief technical director for Cirque du Soleil. And these people have interesting jobs. And so
that's a pretty cool gig.
Oh, yeah. And she does all the you call it Cirque. You don't say Cirque. You say Cirque.
Cirque.
Yes.
She's gotten pretty lewd, by the way, recently. I should ask her about that.
I don't think she cares. She loves her
job.
Well,
no, but she loves her how, why? Is the audience demanding more lewd
without asking content? Without asking her, I'd say probably, and with the knowledge that Vegas shows are down at least 25% in attendance. She says shows are closing, so you have to have more of a draw to bring people in. Vegas is down. Vegas is not doing well. At least she says it's all sports now. All the entertainment is sports, and Formula One ruins it for everybody. Of course, it's great for hotels, but you know, it's a street race. So there are restaurants that have been in business for 40 years, and you know, so people can't get to their restaurant. The street's all torn up. It takes, you know, 2 weeks for them to clean everything up. They're going out of business. So thanks, Europeans, for ruining everything. But that's not why I bring them up. Steve says, you know, I'm still so mad at myself because I needed to go to work and I got the vax. He said, I got the J&J. I say, whew. Well, that's, if you're going to have one, that's the one you want, because at least it's not an mRNA product. And Stephanie didn't get one, but she had to fill out a million forms and wear 15 masks and a hijab and God knows what else.
Get tested every week.
Get tested every, exactly. And he says, but I can tell you, seven people, not just someone I know, but people I know personally, have died from this vax. Seven. I found that to be a disturbing number.
We get a lot of notes from people that have nothing. Their whole family has got something or other going on that's not good.
No. And this rolls right into what I would say is probably the main topic of the day on the M5M, because they live and die by pharmaceutical advertising. And I know you have a couple of clips. I'll just shard us.
I'd like to be sharded today.
Let me shard us off with a little announcement.
Hi, everybody. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., HHS Secretary, and I'm here today with NIH Director Dr. Jay Bhattacharya and FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty McCarry. I couldn't be more pleased to announce that of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today.
No evidence.
And most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
Well, you would have thought someone dropped a nuclear bomb. Oh, no, anti-vaxxer. Wait a minute. He said, we don't recommend it for healthy young children and pregnant women. Sometimes in the mainstream media referred to as pregnant people for some reason. And just every single show had all of their doctors on.
Well, we have a couple of, I have a few things here. I have the PBS, the shameful PBS presentation.
You want to do the 3x3, or do you want to go straight?
But I
think it's
now it's time for 3x3.
It is an experiment.
Experiment by JCD.
A long time experiment.
Comparing stories from ABC,
CBS, and NBC. The never ending 3x3. Three stories, three news networks, all the same story.
All the same story. Just to prove a point, I want to thank Steve Jones, for putting these together for me.
Yes. And congratulations, Steve, congratulations on 2 years today. He's celebrating 2 years, John. It's good. We're very pleased and proud of him.
So we're going to start with the, I'm trying to go reverse order and end with NBC.
Oh, well.
So we're going to start with CBS's CIA broadcasting system, and this will be their version of the announcement.
Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made the announcement on X.
A COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy...
That right there is just them being mad. On X. Doesn't even come to
yes,
us.
Yes, that's a good catch.
Anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
On X.
It also
implies Elon nut job. Crazy.
You got all these guilt by associations. You got Trump. You got Elon.
Yep. X.
And you have X.
X.
Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made the announcement on X.
The COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule.
Typically, the CDC's Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices votes on changes to vaccine schedules and guidelines before the director of the CDC makes a final recommendation to the HHS secretary. In this case, the committee did not weigh in. Instead, flanking Kennedy today, the heads of the FDA and the NIH.
Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
Until now, the government recommended COVID vaccinations for everyone.
Isn't that kind of interesting that it's beyond them to just play the whole 47-second statement? They can't do that. Wouldn't that be more of a service like we just did to play the 47-second announcement? Instead, they've got to chop it up and do all...
They don't believe it's necessary.
Okay.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
Until now, the government recommended COVID vaccinations for everyone 6 months and older. The CDC maintained the vaccine is safe for children, and it prevented them from getting seriously sick. The agency also stressed vaccination is especially important for people at highest risk of severe COVID-19, including pregnant women. During his confirmation hearing, Kennedy promised not to change vaccine review standards from historical norms.
Uh-huh. We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
Oh, good one. Yes.
But that CDC advisory committee was considering removing the COVID-19 vaccine recommendation for children. But one of the members said he was worried what message that would send because there are still thousands of COVID-related hospitalizations and deaths every year.
Des.
So I want to point out one thing on that report, and I want to want people to look for it in the other reports. First of all was the Ron Johnson document that came out from the government.
Yep.
A long report showing that it was causing miscarriages in pregnant women and hurting the fetus. It was just a dangerous thing to give to pregnant women. That was not brought up. Myocarditis in young people was never brought up in any of these reports that I know that I can tell.
It is interesting that
they leave it out.
Well, because you played CBS, if you don't mind, I'll just interject your 3x3. CBS Austin, strangely enough, filed a report about just this.
A groundbreaking new study sounding alarms about the safety of COVID mRNA vaccines, directly challenging claims from public health officials and raising urgent questions about transparency and trust. So using hard data from disease trends, from patient outcomes and immune system analysis, multiple research reports show that heart inflammation risks tied to the vaccines may be far greater and maybe even more dangerous than previously reported, particularly among young men. men. Joining us now to discuss this is Independent Medical Alliance Senior Fellow of Pediatric Cardiology, Dr. Kirk Milhome. Good morning to you, Doctor. Welcome to the National News Desk. Great to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
This new study about the safety of COVID mRNA vaccines was published in the International Journal of Cardiovascular Research and Innovation, as I understand it. Tell us about the scope of this research and really your top findings from it.
So it's a compilation of studies that really have been out there since 2021. We saw a signal in the vaccine product causing problems, especially in the young adults, especially young males, that was causing heart inflammation. And so what we have done is compiled all those different peer-reviewed journals, articles, and data, and put them in one place, easily accessible, with 42 pages and 341 references of our concerns that this is a real issue and these vaccines do little good for healthy children and young adults.
I think everything that the networks did was to obfuscate this news. This was the groundbreaking news.
Yeah. Obviously.
And someone's getting
I'm
fired.
I'm surprised it was reported anyway. Yes. That, what you just played was not local.
Yes, local, yeah.
Well, it was local in Texas, but I don't think very few markets had it.
Austin, though, at the National Desk, mind you, the National News Desk.
It is pretty screwy to be in Austin.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next one, which is the old original spinoff of NBC, ABC, Rachel Scott.
Tonight, in a significant change to CDC guidelines, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing the department will no longer recommend routine COVID shots for healthy children and pregnant women.
I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule.
Kennedy, a noted vaccine skeptic, has questioned whether the COVID-19 vaccine was successful in saving millions.
Noted. I like that. Noted vaccine skeptic. Noted.
Of lives. Today, he was joined by other top health officials.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
But the move was quickly questioned by public health officials, accusing the Trump administration of bypassing the traditional independent review process,
uh-oh,
including recommendations from medical experts. We were kind of blindsided by this announcement.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that guy literally from the independent review who was on CBS Austin?
No, he was an independent guy. Oh. He wasn't
the ministry.
No, they're talking about this little group that's within CDC.
He's
supposed to run everything past them, and they've been trying to get rid of most of them are, you know, big pharma guys.
Yes, shills.
Of bypassing the traditional independent review process, including recommendations from medical experts. We were kind of blindsided by this announcement. We were not consulted about this. Dr. Sean O'Leary with the American Academy of Pediatrics said, and the leading OBGYN association with this dire warning, it's very clear that COVID-19 infection during pregnancy can be catastrophic. Tonight, the CDC's website still listing the COVID vaccine as recommended for everyone 6 months and older,
uh-oh,
including pregnant women. Doctors saying the new recommendations are unclear and remove a healthcare choice for families. This comes after the deadly measles outbreak across the country. Most of the cases involving children not vaccinated.
Hold on, stop it. Stop the clip. Back it up. How does it remove a healthcare choice?
I was going to wait until the clip was done. This is the big thing. They're making it, and I can tell you why, but I will do that with clips later. But it is just saying it's not recommended. Doesn't remove it from anybody's healthcare choice at all.
No, it's a lie.
Well, there's an issue behind it.
I think by the way, we have dueling clips then, because my PBS material coming up might address it.
And I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you should go first.
Well, let's finish the clips.
Women. Doctors saying the new recommendations are unclear and remove a healthcare choice for families. This comes after the deadly measles outbreak across the country.
Most
of the cases involving children not vaccinated. Today, Nebraska, now the 32nd state to report a measles case, a rare breakthrough case in a child who was vaccinated. So far, more than 1,000 people have been infected with the virus since the start of this year. Three unvaccinated people, including two children, have died.
That is amazing. They twist it, go straight from the COVID COVID vaccine no longer recommended to, but measles. Has anything changed with the MMR? I don't believe so.
It's unbelievable.
It's front running. They're front running because they know it's coming.
Ooh, you're using a stock market term.
I like it. Yes, front running. Well, in fact, it is relevant to the stock market because if you're front running it, you know that pharma stock's going to go down.
So here we go with the King Viper at the moment, at least, NBC.
Tonight, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the CDC is ending its COVID vaccine recommendation for healthy children and healthy pregnant women. Ann Thompson joins us now because how the decision was made is raising some questions.
Lester, there's a lot of confusion tonight. In a 54-second video, Secretary Kennedy says the vaccine has been removed because of a lack of clinical data to support the booster strategy in healthy children. But apparently, the decision did not go through the typical CDC review process by outside advisors, which would then make a recommendation to the CDC director. Right now, there is no director. So what does all this mean? The Affordable Care Act says insurance has to cover CDC recommended vaccines. It is unclear tonight if people will have to pay out of their own pockets for their kids' COVID shots. The CDC's own website does not match what Secretary Kennedy said today, and we've reached out to HHS, but have yet to hear back, Lester.
Okay, Ann, thank you.
And there it is. Because everybody knows that the insurance companies, they don't want to cover anything they don't have to cover. And by law, they have to cover anything that is in the recommended vaccine schedule for children. And that's what it is. The pharma companies are seeing their bottom line declining because the insurance companies will like, no one has come out and said it yet, but they will likely no longer cover it. And that was the bottom line for every single report. Exhibit A, CBS, Dr. John LaPook.
What could this decision do when it comes to access or even insurance coverage?
Access! I don't have access. Yes, you do. You have access. Maybe not access it being for free, but you have access.
Yeah, well, so that's the big thing. If the CDC is not recommending it, then insurance coverage could go away. Right now, it's covered in most cases. We looked to see what the price difference would be. It's for kids, it would be about $57, maybe, according to the CDC schedule, and maybe about $137 for adults. So that's not nothing. If you're trying to get a vaccine and you don't have a ton of money.
In COVID. Huh? Is that what?
So if you reverse engineer that, that number sounds interesting until you reverse engineer it. It means that the insurance companies are paying over $100 a shot.
Yes.
More, every man, child, and woman on their policy plan, which is costing everybody money.
Yep.
For a useless shot. Let's be honest about it.
But it's the pharma guys and gals who advertise on these programs. And so that's where we have to make
it even more apparent when you hear the great clips from PBS.
Hold on.
That's not nothing.
Is that proper grammar? That's not nothing. It doesn't sound right somehow. It sounds like a double negative.
It's something people say.
Yeah, okay.
If you're trying to get a vaccine and you don't have a ton of money.
And COVID's not nothing.
You're trying to get a vaccine and you have a ton of money. $57. Okay.
If you're trying to get a vaccine and you don't have a ton of money.
You don't have a ton of money.
COVID's not nothing either. COVID is still something.
Nothing.
I just got my booster.
We'll wait for this. I got my booster.
Last week.
Yeah. Gail, extra points for Gail. She gets a little something in her check today.
See, COVID's not nothing either. Yeah. COVID is still something. I just got my booster last week because I am over the age of 65, and I don't see the downside to getting the booster.
Right. Uh-huh. And I think that's what you want to do.
Wow. There's the clip of the day. I don't see the downside.
One more time.
Because I am over the age of 65, and I don't see the downside to getting the booster.
Right, and I think that's what you want to discuss in an open forum. And you know, it's not just getting COVID. And you can say, well, kids generally do pretty well, but there are issues of long COVID, other issues, complications. Kids are not immune from having a bad outcome. So I'd like to see the open, transparent discussion.
Yes. Well, let's go to your PBS clips and remind me. I have some NPR buttes as well.
Okay. So PBS, you know, which is all, turns out that they're getting a lot of money too, and they have to do a disclaimer by bringing some guy on. And I, while we're running these clips, maybe you can run the 1099. This guy's Rich Besser. And he's the head of the Robert Woods Foundation. It's a private foundation. You have to look at the 990PF, which is the private foundation.
Hold on. What's the name of the outfit?
Robert Woods something foundation.
That's not very
it's named
helpful.
in the clip.
Oh, okay. I'm at the ready with my 990 knife. Good to go.
Because this operation, it's unbelievable. So let's play the clip one.
The World Health Organization said today that a new COVID variant is causing an uptick in cases around the world.
It says COVID vax 1. What am I doing? Am I doing something
wrong? No, I'm just saying this kicker is and the other reports left it out. There's a new COVID out there. That's the reason you need the shot.
You scared me. I thought I was playing the clips out of order.
No, I know you're paranoid about it, but no, we're good to go.
All right. By the way, this report of the new COVID variant, India, Africa, China, it's everywhere. The reports were just so poorly voiced, I didn't clip them. Every country that has crappy news voiceovers, which is horrible, is talking about the new COVID.
The World Health Organization said today that a new COVID variant is causing an uptick in cases around the world, and it's been detected in some states here in the U.S. The COVID vaccine is expected to provide good protection against the variant, but the news comes after Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced yesterday that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention would drop the COVID vaccines from its list of recommended shots for pregnant women and children. That decision and other recent changes under Kennedy are leading to major worries and unease among medical and public health groups. Allie Rogan has more.
Unease. I'm uneasy about it.
So we have this set up, and I think PBS, of course, this goes on forever because it's a PBS thing.
Yeah.
But they got a better setup because they scare you with the new COVID.
That's right.
Yeah, new COVID.
New COVID.
And unlike the old COVID. And somehow, for some unknown reason, the booster will...
Yeah, it doesn't do anything? Or I don't know. Does the booster help?
It's going to kick asses. No, it's going to do something.
Oh, oh. It's going to be yours. That's the problem.
So here comes Allie with her report.
Amna, many experts are calling the move unprecedented. Typically, the CDC makes recommendations about who should be vaccinated and when based on advice from an advisory committee of experts. But it's unclear if they were consulted before the announcement. Joining us to discuss the potential impact of this announcement and wider concerns from public health experts is Dr. Richard Besser, former acting director of the CDC and now CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And we Robert should Wood note Johnson. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is a funder of the NewsHour. Dr. Besser.
Okay, stop. I have my 990s. Now, this is how it's often done. You have the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and they get money from I'm looking at it right now, from the Robert Wood Johnson Health Network.
Yeah.
So the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which of course is, you know, it's only $3 million in annual monies, but they get their money from the Robert Wood Johnson Health Network. How much do you think they do annually?
Well, I looked up the 990PF, which is the foundation's 990.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 1,400 pages.
Let's just go straight to the bottom line. They get their money from the Robert Wood Johnson Health Network, who's 2023, they haven't filed yet, their 2023 gross receipts, $106 million. So there's your pharma money.
It's nothing. If you look at the 990PF of the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation, the 990PF, the 1,400 page thing, this operation has $13 billion in the bank.
Wait a minute. Let me see. Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, it's right there. $13,832,302,736.
Now, if you're on that 1,400 page,
yes.
If you're on that, and by the end,
wait a minute, stop. $13 billion.
Yeah.
Of which $2.3 billion is invested in the stock market. This is crazy.
No, they have all their investments listed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that's invested in the stock market. The other $10 billion plus Sequoia Capital.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Pretty much holding up Sequoia Capital. They in every fund that Sequoia's ever done.
By the way, Richard Bessert, his annual salary for this small little nonprofit, $1.1 million.
There are five employees that have over $1 million in salaries.
Yes, it's great.
And the total salary outlay, take a guess on that one.
Well, I have it.
You'd have to scrounge around, but that document is too big.
$44 million, I think, something like
90.
That. Okay, I'm only looking at half of it.
Yeah. $90 million in salaries.
Well, he's the guy.
They only,
yeah, but he's the guy. He's the guy you can trust. He is independent. So he's the guy.
This is what are the numbers I have here. Oh yeah. Acting CDO, former acting CDC director.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Less than 1 year.
Yeah.
He was bumped in there and then kicked out.
In and out. No, kicked out is like, okay, I got my creds. I know everybody. I know where the bodies are buried. Him, yeah,
if you look at him on LinkedIn,
yeah,
he's a he, him. Bunch of posts about how poor George Floyd was murdered.
Ukrainian flag.
Well, they don't let you put flags on LinkedIn. And where's his origin story from? What spooky operation hospital is very famous?
Let me guess. That would be the now I'm blanking on the name. The guys from the COVID numbers. The come on,
you're getting there.
Yeah, the ones
Johns Hopkins.
There you go.
So he's a Johns Hopkins guy, which is Spook City.
Was he at Event 201 by any chance?
I don't know. I didn't get that deep into it, but I got a bunch of stuff. Grants for 2023 were $543 million.
Ah, beautiful.
From this $13
billion. That's beautiful.
The administrative cost is $97 million. It goes on and on. This is a nightmare. And of course, then they help fund PBS. And so their PBS is beholding.
Wait.
Without mentioning any of what I just told you, what you just dug up, without mentioning any of that, PBS is so with. They're beholden to this guy and his organization. Oh. So they put him on and let him say what he wants.
But
this
wait.
This is the kind of stuff we're getting from the public radio and public broadcasting system.
But wait, the troll room immediately. He's a Jew. There you go. There's proof.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so either. But it's hilarious.
He's got everything
he needs there. Yeah, this is horrible. And they disclaim, oh, we get money from him. Right up front.
They had to put that in there, but they glossed it over and they ran right through it without mentioning any of these other details. This is one of the 10 biggest. The Gates Foundation, Matt, is around 60 billion. Yeah. These guys are big.
These guys are big.
These guys are, well, they're not as big as them, but they're big.
Yeah.
And they sit on that money. It all started in the 30s and some guy, the guy's name, Young, whatever his name is. He started the organization and he got it really going by donating his 16 million shares of Johnson & Johnson stock.
Oh, right.
And I started looking into this and these other, this is all tax
free,
sheltered. Yep. This 13, yep. But they give away, sure, they give away 500 billion. Or 500 million, I'm sorry, 500 million of the 13 billion that is sitting there tax free, growing and growing and growing. And this guy dumped his 16 million shares into the company without having to pay any capital gains.
No.
This whole thing is ridiculous. The government should be taxing these operations.
And you get to ride on the jet and you get a corporate credit card. It's a beautiful lifestyle. You get a housing allowance.
You get $1 million a year in salary. You're on you're right. The jets all the expenses, God knows what you spend. It's ridiculous. This is largesse.
Yes.
But PBS is going to play it because, they're a sponsor.
public health expert.
Money.
Okay, here we go.
It's yeah, Dr. Sorry. Richard Besser, former acting director of the CDC and now CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And we should note the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is a funder of the NewsHour. Dr. Besser, thank you so much for being here. I want to take these two categories in turn. First, pregnant women. There are many public health experts who are expressing concern that they should absolutely still be getting the vaccine to protect not just themselves, but also their infants. Others. What are the concerns there?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Allie. It's very concerning. You know, I'm a general pediatrician. I practiced for more than 30 years. And one of the wonderful things about vaccinations in pregnant women is it not only protects them, but it provides protective factors to their babies, who often can't get vaccinated against many infectious diseases during that first year of life. And so those factors will not be coming across to the babies of moms who are now going to be denied access to this vaccine.
Okay, factually, he's full of crap.
He's full of crap. And what is this denied access?
Well, that's just hyperbole.
It's a lie. It's a blatant lie.
Hyperbole at best. But the kids were on the schedule for 6 months. So don't give me this first year they can't have anything. That's not true because on the schedule for 6 months. But
they get it through the mom.
Like, yeah. Unless it's poison.
Vaccinate pregnant women is like a bad idea.
Yes. You can't even have sushi when you're pregnant. So I'm told.
So we have the situation where the guy says now they're denied. Nobody's denying anybody anything.
No.
This guy is a liar for saying that.
Yes.
And he's on PBS. And does she call him out? She in her whole report? I don't get to play. I don't play the whole damn thing, but I got a lot of it. I'll tell you this. She never once brings up the Johnson report from the Congress.
No.
She doesn't bring up the stuff that you played from
CBS,
the
Austin.
Texas Austin report where the documents have come out showing this is bad for kids and bad for pregnant women. None of this is ever discussed. So this is the most disingenuous reporting you can imagine. And this, again, I'll mention it, say it again. This is PBS.
PBS, everybody, PBS.
Yeah, the American College of OBGYN. This is the body of experts who are obstetricians and gynecologists, raise concerns about this recommendation. And a big concern for me is that the announcement didn't provide the thought behind it. It didn't provide the data. And that's what we're losing, is that ability to really understand the decision.
Now I want to talk specifically about children over the age of 6 months. FDA Commissioner McCary said there's no evidence healthy kids need it. And there are some countries that have stopped administering it routinely, including Australia, the UK, as well as the World Health Organization. So what are the specific risks among that group?
Yeah, you know, thankfully, the impact of COVID has been going down over the years. The talking about deaths in the thousands per week, that's no longer the conversation. But it doesn't mean that COVID isn't still causing problems. And it does cause problems for children. One of the things that I like to see each year is the advisory committee, that expert body you were talking about to the CDC, they wrestle with these questions. They look and see, well, how many children are getting infected? Is the vaccine effective at preventing long COVID that we know so many people are suffering from?
No.
What about a child who lives in a family where there's someone who has an immune problem, who's at greater risk? Would vaccinating that child help protect the others in that family?
This is so insane. People who have long COVID are typically people who were vaccinated to start with. This guy is he's evil. He's evil. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to get us into clip four.
I'm flabbergasted by this guy and the fact that PBS doesn't say anything about the myocarditis issues at all.
No.
They say nothing about the Johnson report at all. They don't bring any question. They don't question anything this guy has to say, especially when he said they're going to be denied access, which is a blatant lie.
Yeah.
And they say nothing at all. This is PBS reading from a script.
But that's pharma talking points. You're right. That's
why does anybody support PBS?
I'm going to tell you in a minute after we play your next clip.
Okay, then I think it's the last clip, right?
Yeah, it is. Yes, here we go.
Yeah, okay. Well, it has a nice wrap.
We didn't get to hear any of those conversations because this was a decision that just came down from the secretary, a secretary who told Congress just within the past couple of weeks that we should not take health advice from him, and told Congress during his confirmation hearing that he would not be messing with the childhood vaccination schedule. It's very concerning.
Insurance plans have to cover recommended vaccines. So if these vaccines are no longer recommended for these groups, how do you anticipate health insurance companies are going to respond?
Yeah, it goes even beyond that. The Affordable Care Act says that if it's a recommended vaccine, it has to be provided at no cost to people with health insurance. But one of the things that's wonderful about our childhood vaccination system in the United States is if there is a recommended vaccination, there's a program called the Vaccines for Children program, and that requires Congress to pay for vaccinations for all children, regardless of whether they have insurance. So a child who is from a lower income family is going to get vaccinated just as easily as someone whose family has more income. Without that recommendation, there will not be those vaccines provided for free for lower income children. So there won't be that choice.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Exactly. Exactly. And now, no one in these reports, because it's the conclusion of every single doctor on every network, then you won't have access because your insurance won't cover it. Well, isn't that an insurance company problem? Isn't that an issue we should take up with the insurance companies? No, instead it's RFK Jr.'s fault. We get it. We understand who's paying the bills around here. Now let me play the jingle.
Elitist Voices of America. This is NPR or PBS.
So you ask, why do people support them? Why do people listen to them? I went to see my hair girl in Austin Tuesday. I am still loyal to her over 15 years.
Yes, you do.
I'm loyal to her. And not just because I like how she cuts my hair, because although she is definitely liberal, she is not someone who goes nuts, and she has a very clear head about it. And it's very difficult for her sometimes to not enter into conversation with her clients because they will not be her clients anymore. So she can always vent with me. I think she enjoys me coming as much as I enjoy going to see her. She said, first of all of her clients still believe, honest to God, that Elon Musk is a Nazi. The Nazi salute is still real. He has secret meetings. He's in Nazi groups.
Secret meetings.
He is a Nazi. Two, despite the recent rhetoric from the president about Putin, total puppet for Putin. Russiagate was real. He works for Putin, not for the American people. And here comes the next one. She said, all my clients are NPR junkies. And I'll probably add PBS to that. They believe everything NPR says. They listen religiously, nonstop, continuously to NPR. And they are certain that the defunding Trump is doing is part of suppressing the truth. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. And I believe they're sincere in their beliefs.
So even though we play these clips and people go, I think it's important that we continue to play these because
I don't think there's an issue there.
No, I just want to say, to be understood, you must first understand. And if you don't, if people don't, you can't just say these people are nut jobs and crazy. They may be, but you have to understand. But you have to understand the brainwashing that is taking place on them, and it's so easy to do this. I think these are just probably good people, but the brainwashing is intense. So it's important that we continue to listen to the brainwashing so we can at least understand where they're coming from and not just write them off as dead. That's all I'm saying. So here's NPR, new COVID-19.
Kennedy says that there was no evidence that repeated boosters help healthy kids, kids with no risk factors. And FDA Commissioner McCarry agreed. Here's what he said.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today. And most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
And, you know, while that might be true, in this country, this change still is raising a lot of concerns among independent experts.
Okay, we'll say more about that if you would. What are those concerns?
Well, one big one is that the decision appears to have been made without going through the normal process of getting input from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's independent advisors. They've been mulling over this very question and are scheduled to meet next month to review all the evidence and make recommendations about this. And beyond that, outside experts are worried what this means for the health and safety of pregnant people, kids, and their families.
Pregnant people. Remember, they're not women. They're pregnant people.
Okay, so let me
pregnant
ask you about
pregnant people. That is disgusting.
That's NPR for you. Pregnant, this guy, pregnant people.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. Do healthy pregnant women and kids still need regular COVID boosters? And what if they want them?
They need them.
Well, one big question is, will insurance companies still pay for the shots? And will people be able to afford it if they don't? Because if the vaccines aren't recommended, insurance companies may very well not pay for them. You know, most healthy older kids are at low risk for serious complications from COVID, and most parents haven't been getting their kids vaccinated, but some parents still want to immunize their kids, you know, to protect them against even mild disease and long COVID and from bringing the virus home to vulnerable family members like, you know, grandma and grandpa.
Grandma and grandpa!
And pregnant women are at very high risk of serious complications from the virus. And that's not all. Their newborn babies are in great danger of getting really sick from COVID, and they're too young to get the shots themselves. The only way to protect them is to vaccinate their moms while they're pregnant so the babies can get antibodies in the womb.
Thus said,
oh brother,
Mengele. Come on, man. There is no evidence this shot works at all. There's no evidence.
That's the other thing. The shot doesn't work.
There's no evidence that it does anything positive other than the actual evidence as compiled in this meta study, compiled of peer-reviewed reports, which CBS Austin miraculously reported on. That is the evidence that it doesn't do much for you. In fact, it can do harm. And we were lied to. And these people, I'm sorry.
And they're continuing to lie.
Shave their heads and walk them down the street naked.
No, you should tar and feather him and walk him down the street naked. It'd be better.
So before I go to the podcast portion of our deconstruction, I just have to play a couple clips here from Brolf because he brought in Lena Wen, who's back on the scene, who was a liar during COVID.
Trump administration officials led by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. claim to have figured out why so many American children are overweight, sick, and don't behave. They make their case in what's called the MAHA report, make our children healthy again, close quote. And it points to things like ultra-processed foods, environmental chemicals, and warns that kids are over-medicated while calling for a new look at vaccines. On CNN last night, Secretary Kennedy explained it like this in an interview with Caitlin Collins.
Yeah, here we go.
This exercise was really a diagnostic exercise, and it's important because this has never happened in the federal government, where you have all the agencies recognizing we have a chronic disease crisis. This was just the diagnostics. 60 days from now, we put out the prescription.
I'm not quite sure what he meant by that.
I have no idea.
Quite understand that. But now let's bring in Lena Wen.
All right, joining us now, Dr. Lena Wen. She's the author of Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. Dr. Wen, as always, thank you so much for joining us. What do you think the key takeaways are from this report? And what do you expect to see in some 60 days?
Well, I think that right now, this report is a bit of a mixed bag, because on the one hand, the public health establishment, the medical community, is in agreement with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about the dangers of ultra-processed food. It's a real problem that 60 to 70% of the calories that Americans consume are these chemicals, these additives and substances that are not good for health, that are linked with obesity, diabetes, heart disease, premature mortality, and so forth. So I think it would be a good thing if there are policy prescriptions that aim to make healthy food.
Hold on. I have to back it up. Did she say 60% of the calories?
Oh, good catch. Let's listen again.
Are these chemicals, these additives and substances that are not
back
good for
back
health?
It further.
No, I think it's going. Okay, I'll back it up further.
No, she says 60% of the calories are chemicals.
Let's listen.
In public health establishment, the medical community is in agreement with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about the dangers of ultra-processed food. It's a real problem that 60 to 70% of the calories that Americans consume are these chemicals, these additives and substances.
What? Wow. Wow. I hadn't even caught that. Holy moly. Chemicals are not calories typically.
60% of the calories are these chemicals.
Can that even be?
No.
Can chemicals be calories?
Yeah, some chemicals could, but it would be, I mean, I don't know how much it's ridiculous what she, that on his face, that's if you got 1% of the, you know, because calories is your
power.
Calories
your
are what will burn. Yes. How they determine calories is you have this little caloric bomb, it's called, and you put something in it in an oxygen atmosphere, and then you burn it, and there's a temperature that goes up or down by so much is the caloric value. It's a process that it's kind of fake, but to have 60% of your calories from chemicals means you'd have to have a, you know, like a pot load of, I mean, it has to be all chemicals you're eating.
Well, that may also be true. Regardless, you're worried about the COVID shot affordability, and this is your knowledge that we're just eating chemicals? Where's your priorities, lady?
On that, 60 to 70% of the calories that Americans consume are these chemicals, these additives and substances that are not good for health, that are linked with obesity, diabetes, heart disease, premature mortality, and so forth. So I think it would be a good thing if there are policy prescriptions that aim to make healthy foods the easy choice, like whole grains or fruits and vegetables and
seed oils.
But on the other hand, there are also parts of the report that once again sow doubt on the safety and effectiveness of childhood immunizations. I think it's good for Kennedy to be talking about pesticides and toxins and eliminating those things from air and the water.
Bear with it.
But he seems to also imply that childhood immunizations, which are life-saving and prevent kids from getting ill and dying, that somehow they're part of these toxins too. And I think it's for that reason that many of us in medical and public health are very skeptical of what those policy prescriptions are and whether some of them are going to be rehashing of what Kennedy has already expressed as his anti-vaccine beliefs.
Anti-vaccine beliefs. Are you going to hem and haw through the whole clips? Because I'll just stop them then. If you're all, that's all you're going to do.
You do it all the time to me.
Not like you do. You have a special way of doing it.
The problem is, I'll tell you what the problem
What's
is.
What's the problem?
The problem is I'm looking her up on Wiki and reading her background, and I'm right on the mic.
And you're just going, oh, she's horrible. Okay. All right. Apology accepted. I get it.
I also, Dr. Nguyen, want to get your reaction to something else that Secretary Kennedy told CNN's Caitlin Collins last night about his approach to trusting scientific experts. Watch and listen to this.
Trusting the experts is not a feature of science. It's not a feature of democracy. It's a feature of religion and totalitarianism. What we should do is trust the science. And we are going to do the science, and the science is going to be replicable, and it's going to be gold standard. People should not be taking medical advice from somebody who is not a physician, but they should also be skeptical about any medical advice. They need to do their own research.
There's your talking point. Do your own research.
You can't do your own research. That's no good.
What he's saying, now I understand what he's saying. What he's saying is, we're going to get a real study out there. I'm going to give you the truth in about 6 months. I think that's what he's saying.
Dr. Nguyen, what do you think of that message?
Well, I'm confused by that message, and I bet that many people are confused about this too. Look, I'm a clinician. I talk to my colleagues who are physicians and nurses all the time. And yes, we do our own research. And
It's not about you doing your research, lady.
Yes, we look at scientific articles and we parse through them. We look at recommendations. But the thing is, there are lots of different clinical topics. It's not reasonable to expect that even clinicians and scientists look at the medical literature all the time.
Hedging, backpedaling a little. I didn't see those reports.
And parse through the literature ourselves on every single topic.
We need the news media to do that for it. Wolf, you're the one that tells us what's in those reports.
This is the reason why we looked at guidelines. There are medical organizations that...
This is fantastic. We can't read all the research. We just read the summary, the guidelines from the approved organizations.
All the time.
Like Robert Woods Johnson Foundation.
And parse through the literature ourselves on every single topic. This is the reason why we looked at guidelines. There are medical organizations that synthesize these data. By the way, we look up to the CDC, or at least throughout history, we have looked up to the CDC, to the FDA, to compile these studies for us and to make recommendations. And this, we have always, throughout history, depended on our federal agencies as the gold standard for expertise, for information, for unbiased.
Yeah, as long as it's run by the right people.
Exactly. Kennedy literally said the gold standard. So when it's gold standard from a different person in charge of the CDC, you're not going to believe it.
Yeah. And so it's very confusing and quite distressing, actually, to hear the person who heads up these agencies, to whom these agencies report, now say that expertise cannot be trusted. I'm confused because it leaves people wondering, well, what sources of information can I trust?
Good point.
Robert
Good
Woods.
Good point. He woke up.
Good point. Last clip, short.
Secretary Kennedy also plans to commission a study to find the cause of autism, and he says we should do that by March. Do you think that's a realistic timeline?
No,
because we have already had decades of studies looking at autism that have so far found that there is a complex interplay between genetics and environmental factors. And if anything, these studies point to the fact that autism is determined before a child is born. And so
what? This is new. It's determined before a child is born?
Who proved that?
Well, it's probably
she's just making it up as she goes along, or somebody said that, or what was that?
Well,
where'd that come
logical
from?
Conclusion. So it happens before the child is born when you're sticking needles into the mother. Just a thought.
The fact that autism is determined before a child is born. And so if you're looking at environmental exposure, you would be looking at in utero exposure. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
If for any studies to be done, we would require tracking pregnant women through their pregnancy to the early years of a child's life. I mean, so we're talking years of study. And if Kennedy is now saying that we're going to have results within months, then one wonders if there are already predetermined conclusions and these so-called studies are just window dressing.
Thank you very much. Beautiful. So now we go to the podcast, because this is what you will not hear on the mainstream. This is Gary Brecka's podcast. Gary Brecka, very famous dietitian, I believe. He's the one that I think advised Alex Jones on his latest health journey with some astounding results. And this is all about pharmaceutical advertising. Won't hear that on the mainstream media, of course.
That's the difficult part for an agency like yours to get into the private sector and effectuate the private sector that way. Unless, of course, there was some kind of executive order that disallowed pharma from advertising directly to the consumer.
Yeah, and we're
which do you see a day where that could be a possibility?
There's a bad Supreme Court case recently that equated pharmaceutical advertising with freedom of speech and gave it and doubted it. With a limited First Amendment protection, there's still things that we can do, and we're working on that. Mm-hmm. So we think that we're going to be able to do something, but I'm not going to talk more about that.
Okay.
And the issue here that people understand, because a lot of the people who support us are for freedom of speech. They're, yes. You know, absolutely. But this is a very different issue, because first of all, the pharmaceutical companies are advertising products that are being paid for by the taxpayer. When they advertise all these drugs on television, a person who's going to get the bill for that drug is my agency, and the taxpayer is going to end up paying for it.
Hey, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense.
The other thing about pharmaceutical ads is the company gets a tax deduction on them. Mm. But we're paying for the ads, and we're paying for the product.
Right.
And so, you know.
I mean, when you think about that, it's just, it's mind-numbing. We're paying for the ads and we're paying for the product.
Then we're paying for all the diseases that that product is causing.
Yeah.
And so it's different than any other kind of product, and it's regulated differently. And those, you know, those regulations, you know, a drug company does not have carte blanche from FAA to advertise any product it wants. And there are conditions that we can place on it. And, you know, those are some of the things that we're looking at.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah, you can advertise. You just can't advertise that.
Well, here's the one of the ads. I'm going to start doing this again, adding it back to the show.
Ah, you got ads?
The side effect. No, not the ads. Oh, the side effects.
The disclaimers, yes.
Now, this is the side effect. Wait, this is the side effects for Eventi, I think is the name of it. It's a bone product you're supposed to take and make your bones stronger. A
boner product.
She said the Eventi she's taking builds new bone. Builds new bone! So yeah, we still bike, babysit, and brunch with the ladies.
Eventi can increase risk of heart attack, stroke, or death from a heart problem. Tell your doctor if you have had a heart attack or stroke. Do not take Eventi if you have low blood calcium or are allergic to it, as serious events have occurred with Eventi. Signs include rash, hives, swelling of the face or throat, which may cause difficulty in swallowing or breathing, muscle spasms or cramps, numbness, or tingling. Tell your doctor about severe jawbone problems, as they have been reported with Eventi. Report hip, groin, or thigh pain. Unusual thigh bone fractures have occurred with Eventi.
Beautiful. Yum.
I missed the anal leakage in that. Ah, too bad.
Yeah, no anal leakage, but your weird thigh bone fractures. How does that get that?
It just snaps.
What?
Meanwhile, also not reported, I have no clips, the Cleveland Clinic has just reported. Do we take any, do we think they're any good, Cleveland Clinic? Are they any good?
I don't know anything about them offhand.
They
probably do a lot of gender reassignment surgery.
Study from the world-renowned Cleveland Clinic has confirmed that flu vaccines slash overall life expectancy.
Oh, that's no good. You can't say that.
Study who found that people who received the seasonal shots have a 26.9% higher chance of getting the flu compared to the unvaccinated.
Yeah, that's the best part. I know that. That's a fact.
So, yeah. I'm not going to see that. I think...
you're not going to see that in CBS.
No. But man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. And this is what Steve and Stephanie were saying. They're saying this was kind of interesting because remember I went on Rogan the first time 2 weeks before the lockdown. In fact, what's his face? Who was that ghoul?
You went on before Rogan got the COVID.
It was 2 weeks. Remember, there were some people on the plane when I flew out to LA with Gucci masks on.
I don't remember much.
Yeah, Osterholm, he was on the show after me. I saw him in the hallway, and he went on Rogan to make everybody afraid of how we're all going to die from this COVID thing. So they had seen me on Rogan. They found no agenda because they were freaking out. He said that we were freaking out for 2 weeks, and then we started listening to you guys, and we're like, all right, makes a little bit more sense now. So that's what happens when you listen to M5M.
I'm actually writing an essay for my Substack column on the origins of our attitude. And I have to go back because I still remember when the thing first broke out. We followed it very carefully. And you actually asked me, you think the whole thing's a hoax at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And we started with the Washington State person, but what happened immediately was when they started doing the report, what got my attention right off the bat was they started doing the reports on the network news of all the ambulances and all, and they had a hospital in New York, and there was all these ambulances backed up, and they were coming in up and down the street, and they were bringing in huge truck trailers so they could keep the dead corpses in there, if you remember that.
Yep.
And a guy on YouTube, it wasn't up for long.
I remember the guy on YouTube.
The guy on YouTube, a few hours later, is in the front of that same hospital. There's nothing going on. And he talks about it. And he's a YouTuber. And he's saying, where's everybody? Where are all these ambulances? There's nothing going on here. And that was like, whoa, what, this is pretty dubious. And it was obvious that he had seen the reports on NBC and ABC and CBS, and then he went to the same hospital. There was nothing going on. Nobody paying much attention to anything. There wasn't ambulances lined up. It was all fake.
Yep.
And then, if you remember, shortly thereafter, Trump sent a Liberty ship or a hospital ship to New York. Not one person used it.
Ever. Javits Center converted to a field hospital. I don't think that was used either.
Yeah, not used. So right there is what, that's when, if you know those, like those two things that happened right away.
Well, also there was the anonymous nurse. And she was saying, you know, people coming in and they just have a flu, but they're so freaked out. They've got elevated heart rate. They're just freaking out because of what they've been told. Out, yeah. And then they're putting them on vents. That was the thing. You put them on a vent and that was it. I think there's maybe two cases where someone de-intubated themselves by ripping the tube out and leaving the hospital and living a happy life. We kind of come across as cavalier talking about it, but that is the fact. It's horrible. We should.
Yeah, and one thing led to another.
There should be pitchforks in the street over this.
Well, not everybody came to the same conclusion because they weren't paying attention. They were going along with your people. They go to that hairdresser.
But I saw the pain in Steve's eyes last night. He says it was the J&J. So that's my only saving grace. He was like, I was afraid I was going to die. And there's lots of people listening right now who think, I'm hopeful that, you know, the dosages were all so different. There was probably a lot of saline being injected. We're hopeful of that. That if nothing has happened to you now, you're probably going to be okay. But man, and the turbo cancers, all of this stuff, and it's just ignored. It's ignored.
It's still ignored.
So it just
by PBS and NPR. As the reports that
everybody,
we played.
Everybody.
And the mainstream media and the New York Times and the Washington Post. Nobody has really wanted to address this.
No.
Because they'd have to admit that they were part of a scam.
So on that note, just a reminder about how untruthful, dishonest M5M is. This is Joe Scarborough of the Joe and Mika Morning Joe show on MSNBC during the crisis of confidence over President Biden. And he told us to record it. So I did.
Start your tape right now because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
Okay. So if it wasn't the truth, I wouldn't say it. And now when he gets called out on it, he deploys defend, deny, and deflect.
Looking back at that, do you say, well, it was misleading to say best Biden ever without caveating it and say, except on the days when he's not the best Biden ever?
Well, but I never saw those days.
Oh, you did, because you saw him address a dead congresswoman, and you saw him in South Carolina.
A dead congresswoman, yeah.
Yeah, well, I can show you the RNC clip reels. There were plenty of days in public when he was not the best Biden ever. And
yeah,
of course,
he stumbled and bumbled around, Mark. I mean, yeah, he certainly did. Donald Trump did. Other politicians did.
Trump.
It's actually the same case as a lot of times when I've gone in and talked to Donald Trump. And I've heard the media narrative around Donald Trump. And certainly I've been very critical of Donald Trump. And when I leave, I have a better understanding, just like Jeffrey Goldberg did couple of weeks, so I have a better understanding of where Donald Trump is mentally. If Donald Trump is losing it, like, you know, people have said through the years or not. And so again, am I going to look at a clip that's gone viral and pay more attention to that than 2.5-3 hours I had with a guy one-on-one going around the world? No, I'm just not going to. Are some of the clips bad? Yeah, they certainly are bad. I can understand why people would see that without the context.
Can't even admit it. At least Jake Tapper says, I'm humbled. I'm humbled by it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's just a lie. It's all lies. And then, so here's another one. This was my favorite, I'm sure. Thought I had the
that, clip. That last clip you played, I believe that was Halperin. His podcast.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it was
yes.
Halperin, because he's got his podcast that he's bringing out. He is doing a about face. He's trying to get back. You know, Halperin was with the John Heilman, the bald guy.
Yeah, your buddy.
I know him. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, he hasn't been over for dinner, so he's not a friend.
Okay.
But I know him, and he's I know the guy.
He's gone
but
crazy.
He stayed with the left and Halperin, who was marginalized because he was me too'd by the group because he slapped some woman on the ass or something. Who knows what he did? And he's been trying to get back in the good graces, but he can't with the Democrats. So he's very slowly going totally moderate, trying to make amends in some odd way. That was part of it.
But it's on a podcast, and this is the beauty of deconstructing media.
Smart money.
Smart money. What money?
No, the smart no money.
So here's another thing. We all saw it. We all saw exactly what happened, but don't believe your lying eyes.
And the buzz over what French President Emmanuel Macron called joking with my wife. Video shows Macron taking hands to the face as he's about to get off a plane in Vietnam yesterday. Moments later, we see those hands belong to his wife, Brigitte. The scene prompted one French newspaper to ask, slap or squabble? Macron says the couple was play fighting.
When's the last time you were play fighting with your wife and you play slapped her in the face? Or she play slapped you?
Never.
Never, of course not. What is this? That is literally how abused people speak. Or abusers even. Abusers. When my second wife choked me the first time, she came and said, oh no, I was talking to my girlfriend. She said, it happens all the time. What? What? While you're sleeping?
So we had...
No.
My wife and I have a mutual friend who's a comedian whose mom was like that, like your previous wife. She was had this personality disorder.
Borderline personality disorder, yeah.
Probably. And she would go after people. She'd grab it. She'd out of the blue, she'd snap and grab a knife out of the kitchen and try to stab you.
It's just fun. It's just playing around, man.
Yeah, just playing around. Just playing
around. Whoa. Okay. So
I think of a number of women that I actually know who are not in the carnal sense, but I just know them.
Yeah. Have they had dinner at your house? Some of them.
None recently. Okay. But just beside the point is that I wouldn't trust going to bed with them because I always get the feeling they stab you in your sleep.
Yes.
You just get this sense, I don't know, this girl is going to stab me in my sleep.
So all of
I'll be sleeping and she's going to have so something's going to get on her mind. She's going to go in the kitchen, grab a knife and stab me. This is, I believe there are people out there that would do that.
Yes. Well, these days it's a trend. We discussed it a couple of shows ago. Hey, would you please shoot me in the head while I'm sleeping? Sure. Sure, no problem.
Yeah, sure. I'll be glad to shoot you in the head. What?
So here we have all the networks, all the public broadcasters, all obfuscating, all lying, literal lies about accessibility and denying access. By the way, not a single one of these outfits interviewed anyone from the insurance company. Hey, here's a journalistic question. Are you going to not pay for people who want the COVID shot when it's off the schedule? It's a simple question. I'm sure you can get an insurance company executive to talk about it.
No. Yeah, and not one report that we played. We played 10 clips from different sources, and not one journalist, quote-unquote journalist, had done that simple footwork, which just requires a phone call.
So you have that example, multiple examples. You have Chuck Scarborough denying, defending, deflecting. You have Jake Tapper can't admit that he excoriated people for even suggesting that Biden was in cognitive decline. Now writing a book about it was cover up. We know anything. Whoa, didn't tell us anything. And we have the French media just playing around, man. She didn't slap him. It's just playing around. And so what does this all lead up to? Scott Pelley's commencement speech.
But in this moment, this morning, our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts.
Provided by you.
The fear to speak in America.
In England.
Power can rewrite history with grotesque, false narratives. They can make criminals heroes and heroes criminals.
Uh-huh.
Power can change the definition of the words vaccine. We use to describe reality.
Or vaccines.
Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity
what?
Is to be shunned. Inclusion is a dirty word.
Get off the stage, white man.
This is an old playbook, my friends.
Oh, Hitler!
There's nothing new in this.
Ah, my friends, thank you. Pollute those kids' minds on their way out of school. Good job, Scott Pelley.
You know, I'm surprised this guy's still working there, working for CBS. He has come out with two editorials on 60 Minutes. First, when the guy quits, one of the producers quits, and he excoriates the company. Then he recently excoriated the company again, and he's doing what he can, the way I see it, to queer the deal to sell Paramount, CBS, the whole thing. That Sherry Redstone wants to get move the company away from her, get rid of it. And he is queering the deal. He's screwing it up for her, for Sherry Redstone, and she lets him work there. She hasn't just come in and said, hey, you're out.
Is the queering you reference anything related to LGBTQ? Queer? I don't think the term queering the deal is understood anymore. I agree with you, and I think it's a perfect use. But
everybody must know what queering the deal means.
No, it's boomer.
You don't think so?
No, only boomers like us get it.
But okay, well, queering the deal means you go out of your way to screw up a merger and acquisition, or you do something. You know, you create a poison pill, or you go out and you bring out some facts that screw up the possibility of something going through. You submarine, you screw up, you do whatever you can, and the easy term for it is queering.
Well, he wants to be very careful. He could wake up with a horse head in his bed. I think Sherry Redstone is no joke.
Redstone is a kick-ass person. He could be dead.
Yes, well,
I mean, if the guy shows up dead.
So over to the media. Of course, NPR is now taking President Trump to court.
When NPR is in the news, we report on ourselves as we would any other organization. So we invited NPR president and CEO.
With bias, lies, and deceit.
When NPR is in the news, we report on ourselves as we would any other organization. So we invited NPR president and CEO, Catherine Marr, to walk downstairs from her office headquarters.
Did I already play this clip?
No, I don't think so. These are my clips.
No, I mean, didn't I already play this clip like a month ago? Is this new?
I think it's new.
I don't think so.
I think so. It's from NPR Consider This. I think it's new.
No, I don't think so.
Well, let's...
But play it, play it. Yeah. You can look it up on Bing.io and you'll see that boost played.
Catherine, welcome. Lovely to be here. The lawsuit cites NPR's First Amendment right, quote, to be free from government attempts to control private speech, as well as retaliation aimed at punishing and chilling protected speech, end quote. Can you explain in plain English what that means, what the thrust of this lawsuit is?
You played a PBS interview, I think.
I think it was the NPR interview. This is where she brings up the 1%.
Well, let's listen.
NPR is a private organization, and we have the right as a media organization to make our own editorial choices about what it is that we cover and how we cover it. And what we found in the executive order was that the order discusses the need to end federal funding based on the accusation that we are not presenting fair, unbiased news. So from our perspective, what that means is that the order implies that NPR needs to change its editorial posture if we are to receive federal funding. It's very clear from the Public Broadcasting Act that public media is meant to be an independent source of information. And in fact, it is protected in the statute that established the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We believe that this is an infringement on NPR's First Amendment rights, but it is also an infringement on those rights of our station, both their editorial First Amendment rights and their rights to associate with NPR if they are unable to use their funds to choose to air our programming.
Yeah, this is different. I don't think that you had these clips.
No, it's the same clip.
Really? This one too, then?
So the argument, as I understand what you're saying, is that NPR, like any other news organization in the United States, is free to choose what it covers, how it covers it, what language we use to do so.
That's correct. And even though we receive federal funding, we are still protected by those same rights.
There's a line that jumped out at me that I marked in the lawsuit, and I'll quote it. It is not always obvious when the government has acted with a retaliatory purpose in violation of the First Amendment, but this wolf comes as a wolf.
Antonin Scalia.
Yeah.
It's a great line.
The late conservative Supreme Court Justice Scalia. What does it mean here?
In this instance, it is evident from the president's executive order, as well as statements released by the White House and prior statements by the president, that we are being punished for our editorial choices.
I think that's an interesting way of looking at the executive order, but I can see where that would be their only defense.
What about PBS? Because the executive order targeted funding to NPR and PBS. Why is PBS not suing alongside NPR?
Well, PBS is a separate organization. We know from their statement when the executive order came out that they similarly find this order to be unlawful.
Do you worry about further retaliation? We're witnessing with Harvard what happens when an institution decides to stand up and fight back.
We definitely thought about what the consequences might be when we move forward to file the suit. And I should say that we are not choosing to do this out of politics. We are choosing to do this as a matter of necessity and principle. All of our rights that we enjoy in this democracy flow from the First Amendment, freedom of speech, association, freedom of the press. When we see those rights infringed upon, we have an obligation to challenge them. And that's what's at stake here. Retaliation is something we all think about, and yet the principle of what we do and how we do it, we have to defend our editorial integrity and the integrity of those rights.
People listening, will NPR sound any different as this plays out?
Please.
No, I don't believe so.
No, we've still got the same Neumann mics, the same dead sound, and the same dead voices.
People listening, will NPR sound any different as this plays out?
No, I don't believe so. The entire point of going forward with this litigation is to protect our editorial independence. And as you started this segment by saying, there is a firewall between the newsroom and management, such as myself. I believe that the way that we do our work and the way that successful.
The firewall in journalism is supposed to be
advertising
and editorial, not management.
But she is all about the advertising. It's her job to bring in the advertising underwriting.
What she's conflated, what she's done is she's redefined management as advertising.
That's correct. But is
now I'll say this is probably new. This is the same script, but it's newer because they didn't bring in
for money.
This lawsuit is from a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And they didn't bring in the 1% thing, which I think is missing, which still should be emphasized. The government only provides, according to them, 1% of their finance. So who cares?
What's your problem, lady? Exactly. 11 seconds left.
As you started this segment by saying, there is a firewall between the newsroom and management, such as myself. I believe that the way that we do our work and the way that we are successful is by pursuing journalism that is excellent. And so I don't think we'll sound different. Yeah, I think we'll sound exactly as we are. Fair, responsible, nonpartisan, and seeking the facts.
You're right. It was me. I'm sorry. That was me. That was me. I'll admit it. That was me. It was Telegram, and it was still open. I forgot to close it. That was me. And who cares about NPR? There was a Windows alert sound, and we're sorry. To wrap up my M5M clips.
You use Telegram?
Oh, you have to.
What do you mean you have to?
Oh, that's where... dude. You want, you want to get news? Go to Telegram. You got to subscribe and listen to the Telegram groups. First of all, 90% of our producers around the world have no agenda Telegram groups. So I don't use it for instant messaging, although Void Zero seems to prefer that. I've got here, No Agenda Gitmo Nation Lowlands, No Agenda Sharing is Caring. But then you've got stuff like NA Texas, No Agenda Ghetto. I'm a member of all these groups. I want to see what's going on. But then, of course, you have to have the some of the crazy things, you know, like the what's that nut job's name? Can't even see her.
Nut job?
Yeah, she's a nut job. Tori says, see, there it goes. Tori says, oh, she's a nut job. We've played clips of Tori Says. So you've got to, you know, this is...
I don't have to do anything.
Hollywood in distress.
Hollywood, well, it's more than just the iconic boulevard here in Los Angeles. It represents a massive industry, $115 billion a year just in California. And today, Hollywood is under threat. The movie business is going through a crisis like it hasn't seen since the dawn of television back in the 60s. First, there was COVID, which shut down production for months. And in 2023 came the actors and writers' strike. 148 days of complete shutdown, the longest in Hollywood history. In the end, the strikers got some benefits, but after that, well, nothing went the way anyone expected.
Los Angeles is down about 40% over the last 2 years. I think we're down 38%. We were down 20% in 2023, and it fell another 18% in 2024. So we had to downsize. People had to do two jobs, three jobs, just to, so that we wouldn't close our doors.
Studios are not just filming less, they're filming somewhere else, where it's cheaper. Take this studio in New Mexico, for example. They've got cutting-edge tech and local incentives that let productions get up to 30% of their budget back. The only way for Hollywood to survive, well, LA has to get competitive again. There's talk of new tax credits for local production, so how will this disaster movie end? Well, we'll see if Hollywood still knows how to pull off a good plot twist.
No mention of the streamers. No mention that Amazon bought MGM. No mention that all of the award-winning shows and movies all come from streaming entities. And
They don't. This bothers me I don't care. I'm not getting any money from these people.
Say, but how much does it really bother you?
Doesn't really bother me that much. But it bothers me just from a marketing sense. Why would you broadcast the Emmys on broadcast TV and give awards to that nothing that's on broadcast TV?
Exactly.
I mean, these guys know to pat themselves on the back and here, give me an award, I'll give you an award, let's do this and that. But they can't promote their own business properly?
Well, they can't.
Yeah, Apple should win nothing ever.
Yeah, but first of all, they have great shows. They pump them out one after another. And everybody works on them. So they, you know, it's like, yeah.
It's,
you're
it's
right. Bad. Why do we marketing. Care? Why do we care? We're podcasters.
Why would we care? Let's listen to a clip from what's her name? Kyra Sedgwick,
Kyra Sedgwick,
who is a Hollywood actress making tons of money. They have a house in New York City.
Who's she married to?
Kevin Bacon.
Right on. So
you got Kevin Bacon, you got her, and they got a farm in Connecticut. They're living the life. They've got tons of money. The royalties must be unbelievable.
He lost a lot of money with that Madoff deal. Remember, Kevin Bacon lost a lot of money, lost his shirt, had all his money with Madoff.
Well, it indicates some stupidity, I guess. And I think the real stupidity is listening to this woman, a Hollywood type, and this is what they think, and she might as well go to your hairdresser.
How you doing? I felt like it was important to get on the blower.
The blower?
She had to get on the blower.
Wasn't the blower slang for the telephone? I get on the blower? I get on the horn?
Maybe. I don't know. It's an old phrase that's lost to me.
And by the way, who cares that you're on the blower, Kira Sedgwick? Was this on TikTok? Where'd you pick this up?
I believe this is TikTok.
And talk a little bit about how I'm feeling and wondering how you're feeling about the state of our union. I'm finding myself pretty scared about a lot of things. Scared about losing my rights as a woman. Scared about losing my right to vote as a woman. Scared about losing autonomy over my body as a woman. Scared of my parents' social security checks. Scared of food banks running out of food and not being able to replenish because they're no longer getting federal funding. Yes, the federal government can use improvement, and there's a lot of things that they've done right over the decades. So I think the answer to being freaked out for me is about community. And I feel excited that we're coming together as a nation on Saturday. You can look it up in your area. It's Hands Off March. And, you know, I'm just going to go and hear what I hear March. And feel less alone in the world, because I feel like that's really important. So if you're worried about anything that's going on in the world, like, I would suggest that you might want to get out there and have your body counted and your voice heard. And we'll probably learn a lot and help each other just by being together.
Oh, my goodness. Move to Canada. Move to Canada.
I don't get it. She is worried about her rights as a woman. Yeah. And she's worried about this as a woman and this and that. Well, who's attacking anything that's anything to do with her?
That's code for abortion. Your rights as a woman. That's code.
She's got plenty of rights.
Nah, she doesn't have the same rights as you.
California's got wide open abortion. You can have an abortion to the last second around here.
In your car.
In your car while driving. I mean, come on.
Hey, speaking of Canada. The King of Canada showed up, because we all know he's really the King of Canada. He really owns it. He's really in charge. Had a little speech.
It is with a deep sense of pride and pleasure that my wife and I join you here today.
It was the main event of a historic visit. King Charles delivered the first throne speech from a sitting monarch in decades. His remarks and royal visit crafted to send a message.
All Canadians can give themselves far more than any foreign power on any continent can ever take away.
The king never mentioned Donald Trump by name, but he nodded to the subject on many Canadians' minds, taunting tariffs and annexation threats from the U.S. president.
As the anthem reminds us, the true North is indeed strong and free.
But this evening, Trump posted on social media about Canada having to pay for an air missile defense system if it remains a separate but unequal nation, while offering again to make Canada the 51st state. The speech from the throne outlines the government's parliamentary priorities, including plans to lower income taxes, trade freely between provinces, and make it easier to build major energy projects, including possibly pipelines.
What we're going to do is fast track the approval. Truly fast-track the approval of those projects. More can be done, more should be done, and from our perspective, more will be done.
So President Trump, of course, jumped on his Truth Social to post in all caps about this, and the Global News picked it up because he's back on that 51st state thing again.
The Prime Minister having to respond to more of Trump's 51st state rhetoric after the President once again turned to Truth Social to say it will cost Ottawa $0 to join his proposed U.S. missile defense system, the whole Golden Dome, if Canada joins the U.S. He also went on to say Canada is considering the offer.
All right, that prompted the Prime Minister's office to put out a statement saying in part...
By the way, rule number one in business, just go out there and say publicly, yeah, they're considering my offer. It's really good.
And wait, he's not lying.
No, they are considering it.
Because once they heard the offer, they have to be considering it. Of course, the consideration is no.
But it's consideration regardless.
Canada joins the U.S. He also went on to say Canada is considering the offer.
All right. That prompted the Prime Minister's office to put out a statement saying, in part, the Prime Minister has been clear at every opportunity, including in his conversations with President Trump, that Canada is an independent sovereign nation and will remain one. And for more on all of this, let's bring in Global's Reggie Cicchini, who joins us from Washington once again this morning.
Look, it's possible, Jeff and Carolyn, that there was something in the speech that might have, you know, triggered something in Donald Trump.
Triggered.
But there's also a possibility here that this post to social media were just thoughts from within the executive residence. And that's because Donald Trump often likes to be his own press secretary and put his thoughts out on social media. Look,
hey, dude, hello, 2015 reporting. He's just pulled out old script. Trump is his own PR company. He's own this. He don't just do it himself. He's trolling you.
Social media were just thoughts from and within working. The executive residence, and that's because Donald Trump often likes to be his own press secretary and put his thoughts out on social media. Look, there were a couple of different moments during the speech yesterday from the King that may have done something to put Donald Trump into a mood. Number one, saying that Canada can give themselves more than any foreign power or any continent can ever take away. Obviously, kind of an indirect hit at Trump's target of the 51st state. But there was also the comments both from the King and from the Prime Minister that Canada is looking to enter a European Armament Act
that would see
the continent and countries involved spending $1.25 trillion in defense over the next 5 years. That could be something that also potentially angered Donald Trump. He has been critical of Canada's spending when it comes to NATO. He has said that Canada would cease to exist as a country if the American military wasn't there. But with the Prime Minister saying that more than 50 cents of every dollar spent on defense is going into the United States and that needs to change, there are a variety of different reasons that Donald Trump may have gone to social media, but again, it could simply be because he wanted the narrative changed to focus on him.
To focus on him. It's about the money. It's about the military spending. That's what it started with, and that's what it's about. It's about spending on the Golden Dome. They're going to have to pay, Canada going to have to pay if you want to be under our Golden Dome. I love the whole idea. A magical
that's
invisible,
pretty much it. You nailed
the Golden Dome. Hey man, do your 60 Minutes Australia thing, because I love that. I watched that whole thing. I loved it.
Yes, 60 million, Minutes Australia, which is actually a good show. And we have, I think, do we have the, in the show notes?
Yes, and it's not 60 minutes. It's like 20 minutes.
It's not very long.
It's not 60 minutes.
It was a spinoff originally of the CBS, but they've kept the journalistic standards high, and they have all kinds of just really interesting interviews and stuff. And they've got this woman who's coming out with a book, and she's being sued and everything, which is always what you want if you want to get the publicity. Sarah Williams.
Yeah.
She has got a book of slamming Meta and Facebook. And
Sheryl Sandberg in particular.
And that's the clip that she actually got fired from Facebook. She was there for a decade or more. And then she accused some dude of hitting on her constantly, one of her bosses, and they fired her.
Yes.
Of course, what you do.
It's Silicon Valley.
She's the troublemaker. Get her out of here.
Yeah.
But this one commentary that she had about a lean in.
Yes.
I thought was worth clipping, and here it is.
It's part of this broader thing at Meta where the people at the top have so much power and they don't really care about the employees or what's normal or boundaries. It's about giving them what they want.
No one gets to the corner office by sitting on the side, not at the table.
Sheryl Sandberg was Meta's chief operating officer. She wrote the book Lean In, which launched a feminist movement to improve corporate culture for women in the workplace.
We're going to lean in, believe in ourselves,
and teach our daughters that they can do anything our sons can do.
Sarah worked closely with Cheryl and says her behavior at times went against many of the things the COO publicly campaigned for.
In private jets, there's often a bedroom for the principal at the back of the jet. She asked me to come to bed with her. And that wasn't something I felt comfortable doing. I just think that you should not get into bed with your boss unless you want to, which in this case I did not.
That's just bizarre. On the jet.
Correct. On the jet.
What?
Sarah says she felt uncomfortable, but wasn't the only staff member to be treated the same way. Sandberg had a young female assistant who Sarah says was sent to buy and model thousands of dollars worth of lingerie. Even more unusual, Sarah also claims the pair would stroke each other's hair.
My first child, and it's scary to have a child and have a job because you worry that you're going to go on maternity leave and someone is going to take your job away.
Sarah admits she always put her work first and remembers it was certainly the case when she was 9 months pregnant, about to have her first child.
Did you feel so indebted to the company, though, that, you know, you're in the birthing?
You know, to be fair, last time we saw each other 6 years ago, we stroked each other's hair. I mean, you know, I thought you ever touched your hair.
In fact, I'll mention this. I saw somebody try to touch your hair once.
Oh, and they got beaten down.
Don't touch my hair. You're like an old black woman. And so,
but I'm saying that's for their protection because they might break their fingers.
And so at the end of this, by the way, and people should go to the show notes and listen to the whole interview. Oh, yeah, it's quite great. Interesting.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. But there's a disclaimer at the end. Sheryl Sandberg, you know, denies this and it's not necessarily true. It could be lies.
Lies.
But it's too good to pass up, as far as I'm concerned, and so far as a good clip's concerned.
So, you know, the way she said it, though, hearing it now for the second time, you know, maybe she's like, you know, just you should come on. We'll just go to sleep. Just sleep in the bed in the jet in the back. It could have been as kind of innocent as that, although I don't think I would say that to any person working for me. I'll be like, get in the jump seat. This is my jet. I'm going to spread out. I don't want anybody in the bed with me. So it wasn't like, I want you to come to bed with me and have sex with me. Sounded
that
more
was
like,
the implication.
Yeah. It sells books. It
sells books. It sells the show. The show is good.
Yeah.
And people should just watch and think for them and decide for themselves. They also blast the whole system of taking advantage of people. I mean, the whole thing that makes Facebook valuable is what the nasty things they did. She points out, for example, they would find, they would keep track of everybody's actions. And when they take, like when a teenage girl takes off a kind of not a great flattering picture of herself, when they take off and they erase photos from the service, that they take notice of that and say, oh, this person's, she might be on, you know, getting depressed or something, and she doesn't like these old images. Let's send her advertising to take advantage of it. And of course, this woman, she says that's a bad thing.
Send her some likes, quick. Send her some likes.
She puts it out as, oh, this is horrible that they were exploiting these poor dummies that are on Facebook. And I'm thinking, what else would you do? And I don't want to be cavalier about it, but I am cavalier about it. If you got somebody, you figure out somebody is depressed because of their actions on Facebook, because you're tracking them like a dog, which I don't have a Facebook account, I might add. You're tracking them like a dog, and then you figure something out, and you send them an ad. I mean, that's what advertisers want.
You know, Instagram specifically, I think, is a big driver of bad mental health. And a lot of people can handle it, no problem.
I agree.
But we were in Nashville, and this is the K-Love Awards. It's a national radio station. They play Christian music. And this is very popular, you know, big, big names, huge hits. And so we go because they basically have six concerts and then an award show. I'm not part of any of the fandom of it. However, as we arrive Friday afternoon, we got a text message. You're invited to the special meet and greet. Now, coming from the music entertainment business, oh, that's cool. You know, because we got our tickets last year, and you know, so we were first in line. Oh, well, maybe we were special. And to me, what does a meet and greet sound like to you?
Sounds like a backstage gathering of VIPs getting to meet the performers.
Yeah, exactly. And there's, you know, some Prosecco, you know, or some other cheap Andres.
There should be a buffet.
a buffet.
Yeah.
Some snacks, you know, some M&Ms with only red
rolls.
Ones.
Yeah. Stuffed eggs.
So, no, there was a line of 400 people, but it was moving very fast. And like, let's just see what this is. And so we're moving along in the line, and it goes into one of these ballrooms, and it snakes around the room. And there's the band for King and Country.
And are you in the line of 400, or are you walking through the line of 400?
No, we said, let's see what this is about, because we knew it wasn't going to be what I expected. But, you know, let's see what they were cajoling us with this secret text message.
Which what they were trying to sucker you into, better term. Yeah.
400 or 500 people in this line. And so there's a backdrop, and there's the band, and you come up to the band, it's your turn, and it's going very fast. They take your phone, and I said, no, I'm just going to take a picture of my wife with the man. No, we take the pictures. Okay. And so we stand next to the band. They do 6 pictures, hand your phone back, you move on. And what I realized is, first of all, poor band. I mean, they are standing next to 500-600 people filled with God knows what kind of germs and goo and
germs
spitting on you and breathing on you and touching your hands. It's like you just want a constant Purell dispenser. And they're really nice about it, but you know, they're trapped in this K-Love radio station world. They got nowhere else to go, so they're doing what they're supposed to do. But what really dawned on me, and especially the same thing at the award show, which isn't the Grand Ole Opry, you know, it's a big to do, it's a big television show. People only want to post on Instagram, I was here. Here I am. Look at me. I'm with King and Country. There are people performing live on stage, and half the crowd is holding up their phone, looking at their phone screen while they're literally 10 feet away from the performer on stage. This is a sickness of epic proportion.
I agree.
We used to take pictures on vacation. You get them back. I know, boomer talk, sure. You get them back and be like, oh, this is a fun memory of our time. Remember that? Oh, yeah, that was great. No. This is all about, look at me, my life, I'm cool, I'm awesome, everything's fantastic, I'm doing great, look at me, I'm doing great, and they are dying on the inside. They're dying on the inside.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that, and which brings me to a clip.
Okay, wow.
Because I talked about the exploitation on Facebook, and now you talked about these pictures, so they're all social media. Here's the kind of the kickback, this is the visas that they're going to stop. And they're deciding, this got everybody in an uproar. They don't know what to think. I have been saying this for years. You can find out more from going to somebody's Flickr account. You can go to their thing and you see them.
Flickr. Hello, boomer.
Well, yeah, Flickr. But I'm Flickr. Saying, I said it during the Flickr era.
Yeah, that's true.
You
that's
can go
true.
To a Flickr account or somebody's, if they have TikTok, is it's less revealing, I think, than something like Flickr was. Where you'd see people at a party drunk, and they post pictures of themselves and all their drunk friends, and you'd find out that I'm not going to hire this guy. He's a drunk. But here's what's going on with the visas.
The United States is pausing all new student and exchange visitor visa interviews, which covers a broad swath of professions, from doctors to camp counselors, while it studies how to expand screening of applicants' social media posts, according to a State Department cable obtained by the NewsHour and signed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. This comes as part of a broader crackdown on immigration and higher education by the Trump administration.
Yeah, I'm all in on this. Absolutely.
Yeah,
of course.
You got people posting debt to America and then they want a visa.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're looking for.
Yeah, it's crazy. So,
get off these networks, people.
Everybody's up in arms about President Trump's pardons. And he just
I have a clip for a couple of them.
Oh, okay. Well, I have the one about the reality show people, and I do.
Oh, I don't think this concludes that. Why don't we play this? Then you can take the rest of it.
Okay. Okay. What you got?
Say Trump pardons or pardons.
I don't see. Maybe you misspelled it. Screwball pardons. Here we go.
Yeah, the White House said today that President Trump issued a full pardon for former Congressman Michael Grimm. The Republican from New York's Staten Island was convicted in 2014 of tax fraud and related charges. The former Marine and FBI agent had admitted to underreporting wages and revenues from a restaurant he owned before joining Congress. He left office in 2015 and served 8 months in prison. Also today, Trump commuted the sentence of Chicago gang leader Larry Hoover, who's serving multiple life sentences for crimes including murder, but it's unclear how soon he would be released as he still faces the remainder of a 200-year sentence on state charges.
Yeah, so there were 26 pardons, and so a friend of mine is actually in jail right now awaiting a pardon from President Trump, and I witnessed this whole prosecution.
This is the guy we've talked about on the show?
I don't think we've talked about him on the... We've talked about him after the show, but it doesn't matter. It's a friend of mine. And he got wrapped up in a Medicare fraud scam.
Yeah, he's a doctor. He's an innocent bystander, basically.
Totally. But the way the Office of Inspector General and the DOJ went after him was just unbelievable. The way the trial went, you know, you have to prove that someone actually wanted to commit fraud and was in a conspiracy. And what they said is, well, you're a doctor. You're smart. You should have seen the red flags. I'm not kidding. That is pretty much how he got convicted.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
In fact, the constitutional lawyer and I, we've been writing just in case the pardon doesn't happen. I am actually going to have an amicus brief for his appeal. Oh, yeah. No, and it's good because... You know, how about the FTX scandal? Did anyone go to jail? All those people who got wrapped up in this huge scam? How about all those intelligent people who invested in Elizabeth Holmes? Did they go to jail? No. I mean, there's smart people get duped all the time.
Good point.
But this, in my mind, and there's less direct evidence for this, but this was a Department of Justice out of control going for a pelt. And... he's a huge Trump guy, you know, Trump flags on the house and Trump ties and
he's got to go to jail.
That's the way I see it. You know, there's less evidence of that, but it just, you can feel that played into it, how they railroaded this guy. So we're all praying that, you know, he's number 27 on the list. So, you know, maybe he'll be next, but here's an example of the way they make it sound. This is who did this report? This is this is all Global News from Canada, but you'll get the idea. They make it sound like he's letting white criminals go free.
3 years after they were convicted of tax evasion and bank fraud, reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley received a presidential pardon, freeing them from their lengthy prison sentences.
Your parents are going to be free and clean, and I hope we can do it by tomorrow.
The fact that the president called me.
The Chrisley's daughter got the call after months of lobbying, which included speaking at the Republican National Convention.
Due to our public profile and conservative beliefs, they accused my parents of fraud.
Same story for former Virginia Sheriff Scott Jenkins, pardoned this week despite being convicted by a jury of bribery and fraud for accepting cash in exchange for police badges. Trump called him the victim of an overzealous Biden Department of Justice.
Trump's use of the pardon power is part and parcel of his effort to assert an executive power over the law.
Under Trump, the pardon process has been turned on its head. Pardon seekers and their families have spent millions on Trump events, lobbied his inner circle, and tried to pitch themselves to the president.
Trump, although he is using the pardon power in a politicized way, doesn't seem to be facing the same kind of political repercussions for that as prior presidents.
At the Justice Department, the Trump-appointed pardon attorney posted "No MAGA Left Behind" and is now urging Trump to consider pardons for others, including the two men who plotted to kidnap the governor of Michigan, something Trump says he's now considering.
So when you look at these reality show people who, of course, were, you know, super MAGA Trumpers, and they had, you know, they had cars and homes. This is what you do in a reality show. They were actually never convicted of tax evasion. The IRS admitted under oath they didn't actually owe anything. The federal agent lied on the stand, admitted it later, which was recorded. The prosecutors called them the Trumps of the South, put the dad's face on a dartboard in their office. I mean, you know, there was a weaponization for sure. And I'd say, how about Hunter Biden? I mean, talk about tax evasion, illegal gun purchase while lying about being a drug addict.
Smoke and crack on a video.
All
hanging out with underage girls and screwing them on video.
And you know, honestly, we just like our doctor back. You know, he's a good doctor. That's all that really we want. So anyway,
this reporting at this point is out of control.
Big time.
This is not reporting. What you just told me about the reality story, because I didn't pay any attention to any of this.
No.
I said that one clip I got because I thought it was kind of funny. But I did see Trump's going to let the Whitmer kidnappers get off.
Yeah.
And then they have this thing about the reality show. I saw it go through the news. I didn't look into it. I didn't get a clip. I didn't care. But now that you bring it up and you actually deconstructed it and showed that the reporting on it is crap,
mm-hmm.
It just disgusts me.
And just,
I'm feeling like Tim Pool.
And just as a side note, so my friend made a couple $100,000 in a 4-year period signing off on things that he was told had, you know, it's telemedicine, telehealth. All right. So, we've seen this person. Here's their chart. And he signed off on it. The entire fraud was $70 million. Those people are in Singapore or God knows where. He gets dinged for $70 million. You got to pay that back, by the way, and sit in federal pen for 10 years. So, come on.
How does he get dinged for $70 million when he made $100,000 over 4 years?
That would be another part of the amicus brief. Unusual, unfair punishment. Not in line with the crime, quote unquote crime. So yes, there was a true weaponization, and these people were like, they were, you know, because I was going to be a character witness, and they did not want me. I mean, they had sidebars in the courtroom. No, we don't want Curry. You know, I have the persuasive power of God here. Like, that guy, he's going to ruin our case. And so they came to my house to intimidate me.
Well, this is news to me. You didn't tell this story to me.
No, the OIG came to the door, and I was
OIG stands for
Office of Inspector General. So it's the special.
Is it state or federal?
Federal.
So you got some feds that came over to the house,
and I wasn't here. And Tina was here, and she said, we want to talk to him. She's like, he's not here, but I don't think he wants to talk to you anyway. And then, you know, they were driving around the neighborhood, driving up the back road. Come on. All intimidation. Of course, I immediately called the constitutional lawyer. He says, if they come back, you put them on the phone with me. I love that guy. So it really is true. The intimidation, the weaponization, and it was all, in my opinion, you live in a red town, you're with Trump, we're gonna get you.
The guy has Trump signs around
flag. No, he's like Trump. Yeah, I feel boots.
Safer in California.
Yeah. you know what it's like, one of those guys. Everything. His kids are dressed like Trump. Trump's, you know, these kids are doing
go Trump.
Yeah. We're gonna run you in anyway. last couple of clips I have here. They just have a Bitcoin 2025 in, I think it's Vegas, and everybody turned out for Bitcoin 2025. Everybody showed up. All the important people were there. I will first play a clip of JD Vance, our vice president.
But I actually think that where Bitcoin is going is as a strategically important asset for the United States over the next decade. It's one of the reasons why President Trump, with the help of our great AI guy, David Sachs, It's one of the reasons why we started the Bitcoin Reserve, because we want to start to put in motion the strategic importance of Bitcoin for the United States government. We know that the PRC doesn't like Bitcoin. The People's Republic of China doesn't like Bitcoin. Well, we should be asking ourselves, why is that? Why is our biggest adversary such an opponent of Bitcoin? And if the Communist Republic of China is leaning away from Bitcoin, then maybe the United States ought to be leaning into Bitcoin. And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, leaning in. Leaning in like Sheryl Sandberg. Leaning in.
Not the only luminary to appear at Bitcoin 2025. Oh, no. There was everybody's favorite mayor, Mayor Adams from New York.
We have financial instruments for all other bonds. You can have tax-exempt bonds and other bonds. It is time, for the first time in the history of this city, to have a financial instrument that is made for those who are holders of Bitcoin. I believe we need to have a bit bond, and I am going to push and fight to get a bit bond in New York so you can do those same bond investments in New York City. Thinking big and being unafraid of the future is what we want to do. So I say to all of you who are here summonsing, come out of the shadows. Come back to the city. You no longer have to be afraid to be part of this major industry that has been attacked, it has been criticized, and it has been denied the opportunity to move forward and grow. We must lead the way. We must be a city and country of innovators and creators, not haters. And even those haters that laughed at us in the beginning, we have to ask in a uniform manner, who's laughing now? Look at how Bitcoin has grown. And we must match what is happening on the national level with what we're doing on the local level. If it grows in New York, it would cascade throughout the entire country. And we will normalize and allow young people to know the evolution and power of the Bitcoin universe.
You'd think he was at a human rights rally. It's amazing. Yeah. And now I have a supercut of the entire rest of the conference. The Bitcoin 2025 conference. Here is the summary in supercut fashion.
Stablecoin.
I could go on for another 30 seconds. It's all about stablecoin. Stablecoin. It's all about the stablecoin. And now, according to the Wall Street Journal, the big banks are exploring venturing into the crypto world together with a joint stablecoin.
Stablecoin.
I'm telling you, Mar-a-Lago Accords incoming soon. This stablecoin thing, man, they got plans. They just haven't explained it yet, but they got plans.
They haven't explained it.
They have not explained it, but they're coming. And with that, I'd like to. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to play two Memorial Day clips before we went to the break.
All right, let's do that.
First of all, I have two Memorial Day clips because we had Memorial Day. And I have to say, we produced a show, or we didn't, but our producer did.
Guy Raya.
He produced a terrific show. Everybody who listened to it raved about it.
No. There was one guy on X who said, I don't want to be critical, but I hated it. After 15 minutes, I went to listen to something else.
Well, okay, one guy didn't like it, but I think that's true with all of our show.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought he did such a good job with melding, because it's easy. You can just throw clip of the day together, but he had little interstitials and he mixed it cool. I think it was just a very good job.
Yeah, he had taste.
He had taste, yes, and good demeanor.
Memorial Day missteps.
Oh.
I saw a survey that I thought was interesting recently. It's from Talker Research.
And it said that only 48% of Americans can correctly identify what Memorial Day commemorates. Mm-hmm. And those numbers were 27% with Gen Z. So why do you think those numbers are so low? And what should we do about it as a society?
Well, there are a couple of things. I think, sadly, a lot of our holidays have become about the commercialization. So for today, there are a lot of people, although I don't begrudge them to have barbecues and hot dogs and hamburgers and lemonade and maybe a beer. It really is about not just our heroes in the military, but specifically our fallen heroes in the military. And I was told that by the military. I said, thank you for your service to a vet who was on my radio show the other day. And he said, actually, Memorial Day is more about those who didn't come home, as opposed to somebody like myself who did come home. Today, after the show, I'm taking a train to go see my mom, and we will go to my father's grave, where there is a flag and there is a medal, and the cemetery has cleaned the gravestones, especially of those who served, like my father served in the Korean War. I come from a long line of veterans, my Uncle Harry, a Jewish man who fought the Nazis in World War II, and that was pride for him. My cousin Keith, my cousin Keith was watching today.
Okay.
She goes on and on.
Explain the missteps.
this is a conflagration.
Yes, of multiple celebrations.
Of Memorial Day, which is about the dead, the fallen, and Veterans Day, which is a different holiday.
I know.
Well, she got it mixed up, and as everyone did, but nobody did as good a job as one. We haven't had her on much, but this is the girl who teaches black history.
Oh, wait, is this the one that white people eat people?
Yeah, the cannibals. Cannibals.
Yes.
Well, she has a rundown of Memorial Day. She's got one thing right, which was originally was called Decoration Day, but I didn't realize that we've got it completely wrong because she's got it right as usual.
Of course.
And here's the explanation of Memorial Day.
Real quick, we also created Memorial Day. It's pretty safe to say black people created all things good. We made things better. I mean, take something simple as ice cream. The shit had mayonnaise in it before we touched it. Mayonnaise. So I'm not trying to hear shit else. The holiday was created by formerly enslaved people that wanted to just honor and like commemorate their veterans who fought in the Civil War. And for 100 years, it wasn't recognized federally. So it was mostly black people that celebrated this holiday. It was also known as Decoration Day. Before it was called Memorial Day, it's actually called Decoration Day. It's just the colonized word for it is now Memorial Day. Are we surprised? Now you might ask, why do we have a Veterans Day and then also a Memorial Day? Because Memorial Day was created to solely memorialize Union soldiers. The Union soldiers are the people that fought against slavery. Please do not confuse them fighting against slavery for them being pro-black. A lot of these white Union soldiers were not pro-black. They were just against slavery because slavery was making the South a lot of money and the North was broke as shit. We can just look at the North as some haters to the South, which is ironic because the South is literally using slave labor, but they're haters nonetheless. I mean, they was pocket watching. Before I end this video, it was actually celebrated in April for the first 100 years until America got its hands on it. And here we are today in fucking May. I don't know, but happy Memorial Day.
Well, this is a history I'm unaware of.
Yeah, I didn't know about the mayonnaise either. She says until black people came around, ice cream was made with mayonnaise.
This is also new to me.
Yeah.
It's, I guess.
Her course must be fascinating.
Wait, you can subscribe to a course?
She's a teacher of black history.
Oh, well, I'd like to take her course. I'd like to take her class. Can I do it via Zoom?
I have no idea anything about it.
Hey, with that, I want to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the crypto cash known as stablecoin. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. DeVore.
Yeah, well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, little ships and sea boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Stand still. Stop moving. I want to count you. Hold on a second. About on par, 1814. It's about right for a Thursday, I believe. I believe. Hello there, trolls. Welcome. Good to have you here. And just so you know, the troll room is open season. I mean, you can do whatever you want in the troll room. People are like, don't say that. Adam will close the troll room. But I don't think I've ever threatened or certainly ever done that.
You kick people off
once in a while, but that's more just for myself, just to make me feel better and powerful. But it's not very often that I do that. It's only when I'm in a mood. But no, the troll room is there. It's there for that very point, to troll me, to troll each other, to troll around, to say whatever you want. It's ephemeral. Scrolls away. After one screen, no one sees it anymore. You are literally yelling into the void. But yes, power tripping. That's right. That's me. I'm power. When I'm on a power trip, I'll kick someone out of the room. That's true. I admit it fully. Power trip. I just want to have some power. Now, of course, the trolls, they get to listen live to the show, which is very fun. And you can do that at trollroom.io. I don't know if you saw Megyn Kelly. She was hopping mad the other day.
Always hopping mad.
She was hopping. She's like, Apple, my show hasn't updated on your podcast app for 6 hours. What's wrong with you? No one answers my questions. She was hopping mad. Of course, your iPhone could be on fire and no one's going to answer your question from Apple. Go to the forum. That's where you can get your answers. Now, that was on Apple. On the modern podcast apps, it had been there for 6 hours because the modern podcast apps use the podcast index. It's a much better system. And if she used Podping, a podcasting 2.0, which literally you can do with on a web page, you can just say, oh, I'm published. You click a button. And it would update within 90 seconds on all the modern podcast apps. I'll send her an email, maybe. I don't know if she cares. But
she doesn't care.
She doesn't care. But
she likes to get worked up. She knows her numbers go up when she gets worked up. There's nothing more entertaining than a mad blonde.
Yeah. And according to Tina, she's tiny. You think she's tiny? I thought she was tall. Tina says she's tiny, tiny.
Does Tina run into her?
No. Women have this intuition. She says, no, she's tiny. She's real tiny. So maybe just big head. Says tiny body, big head. Merv Griffin's dream. That's how you get successful on video, which is why she should be doing video. That's great. So get one of those modern podcast apps and don't mess around. There's many of them at podcastapps.com. That's APPS, plural apps. You'll get this show and you'll be alerted when we go live for the live pod. There's many live shows now. And they also work on those podcast apps, not on the legacy apps. So give it a shot.
Megyn Kelly's 5'6", according to the internet.
Really? That's not tiny, tiny.
That's pretty average. That's like the average height of women.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's a couple of references to it.
Oh. Oh, then she's not that tiny. She's skinny. She's skinny. She's very skinny. Value for value is the motto for this show, and it's been serving us pretty well for over 17 years. We provide the whole show to you from beginning to end. If you're listening live, you get a little pre-show banter. You get all kinds of fun stuff to listen to. If you're really listening live, you hear Darren O'Neill do the rock and roll pre-show. And he had the handover. It's very professional. It's like a real network we've got going on here. And then after the show, there's always a show that comes on. It's all live streamed. It's all fantastic. And you'll get notified if you subscribe to those shows. You'll get notified when they go live. And if you can't listen live at the time, then you can, you'll get the show when it's published. And within 90 seconds, you know about it. Podcastapps.com. But value for value is what we do. Here's the whole show. If you get any value out of it, send it back to us. So what did Steve and Stephanie do? They took us out to dinner. They also donate, Steve's night. But they took us out to dinner.
Oh, they took you out to dinner. I thought you just got invited.
No, yeah, but then when the check came, no, that's for me, he said. I said, you sure? I'm happy to.
You didn't grab for it or you had the alligator arms?
Slowly. Are you sure?
Oh, I got more on Megyn Kelly. She's 130, 5'6", so she's not that skinny.
Yeah.
She 32C.
C? I don't believe that.
Yeah, she has a foot 9. Got a big foot.
She got size 9?
That's what it says.
Wow.
And her figure is 35, 25, 36.
Hmm.
So.
Well, thank you for these details.
Megyn Kelly, interesting facts. This is kind of weird to put in here this way, but this is obviously generated, right? She was groomed by Bill O'Reilly.
Groomed. Groomed. Groomed by Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. That's one way of putting it.
I still listen, Bill O'Reilly. I still listen to his podcast from time to time. His voice has become so weak. It's kind of sad. Bill O'Reilly. He's got to be 70 in his far in his 70s. You should.
Well, he doesn't sound. You're right. His voice doesn't sound. I don't like his voice.
No.
The current voice, his old voice, would he probably yelling? I'll do it live too many times. He's 75.
Oh,
which is not that old to have but he's interesting because he's 6'4".
But he doesn't sound like this anymore.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
He doesn't sound like
that. No, he doesn't sound like that anymore at all.
No, it doesn't sound like
that. He sounds like he's been weakened.
Yes, weakened. Weakened. He's a beaten man. Yeah. You can do that by supporting us, and we thank all of our supporters, $50 and above. And at this portion of the show, we thank people who have donated more for this particular episode. We just want people to donate. It's not like you have to become an executive or associate executive producer. That's just something that people wanted because they wanted to make sure their note is read, and they want to bless us with more value, and we understand that. So the deal
here... It's a good attribution to be an executive producer to the No Agenda Show because it's a lifetime achievement.
It is. It is, and many people feel that way because they proudly post that on imdb.com, where these Hollywood-style credits are recognized. So $200 and above, we will read your note and you become an associate executive producer. $300 and above, you become an executive producer and we read your note as well. And of course, these are thank yous from the past two shows since people continue
to... You're not going
to
do the art?
Oh, I'm sorry. I completely forgot the art. How bad of me. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for reminding me. Yes. Time, talent, or treasure, you can support us in any of those manners. So, you know, I clearly got some treasure the other day and some free food. But time and talent.
Hey, how was the meat there? Yeah?
It's Jack's Chop House. It's very good. It's very expensive. We do not go there typically. But Steve took us.
If somebody takes you, you'd be glad to go.
Yeah. Steve took us. It was very nice. So we want to thank the artist who brought us the artwork for the best clips of the day episode, which we did not confer over.
No, we usually do.
Yeah.
But we both picked the same one.
Yeah, I know. Usually you send me a couple and you say, use this one.
I do that. Yes.
And I think you used this in the newsletter, I believe.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. This was the Nestworks clip of the day. Now, to be honest, I didn't choose it. I was in the hotel room because we came back, you know, because I, of course, wanted to hit the bat signal and then upload the show so that people who were listening live had like a 5-minute advantage and they were ahead of everything. And then people who just wait, for, you know, if you get it on the podcast regular, not listening live, you had a little bit of a delay. And I showed Tina. I said, which one of these do you like? And she said, this one. And that's how it was chosen. So please send your gripes and complaints to her. The ones that were in consideration were Blue Acorn's Best of Mixtape. You know what she said? Too small. Can't read it. The Nestworks Clipping Through the Ribbon says, nah. And the Megaphone, Darren O'Neill, she said, that's cute. I kind of like Darren's Reel to Reel. I would, of course. I think Tina said, no one knows what that is anymore. Good point.
Well, that, you know, yeah, boomer.
It's okay. Everyone else calls me
that. I
have
two or three of these machines.
Yeah, you got Revox, right?
I don't have a Revox. I got some old, I got some classic, like the Sony 777.
You want a Revox, man. You want a Revox.
What you really want for collecting.
You want the Tascam 4 4-track.
No, for collecting, you want the Ampex.
Yeah, that is a classic. The Ampex. Wait, and does yours have the?
You want tape? You want the Ampex full track?
Well, what I liked is the Revox had a built-in tape splicer, right on top.
So yeah, you
could thread it right there and snap it.
I never owned one, but I used.
I owned one. But you had to build it into a table. It was heavy. Those things were heavy.
Well, yeah, all the good ones.
And you run it on 38 centimeters per second. You get high fidelity.
I have one in the collection that is a TIAC with a cartridge at the bottom. So it's got the reel to reel at the top and it's got one of those 8 tracks. so I can record and play 8 tracks on it.
That is a collector's item.
That's a total collector's item. Playing or record, I can still, in other words, I can still record 8 tracks for someone who has a 58 Chevy.
I had a 72, what was that Buick called? Skylark. That
had when I was a kid.
All right. I did have a Tascam Studio 8, which was a 4-track Tascam with mixer all built in. That was another cool machine. So, but that didn't win. The honors go to Nestwork, and we appreciate your work, and we appreciate the work of all of our No Agenda artists who diligently upload at noagendaartgenerator.com. It's open for everybody. Everybody can participate. And we're big fans of your work, ma'am. We love it.
We also have to credit the show before that because we didn't do a show.
Good point. Good point.
And the winner of that was...
Was Cinematic Ambush was the title of the show. And the art went to Darren O'Neill. That was his Oval Office ambush, which was contentious because I was like, I'm tired of...
You're sick of
this template that Darren uses. And then I realized... We've never chosen it. We've never chosen one of these.
Yeah,
templates.
Well, you complained. I said, we've never chosen it.
I know.
And then
I
you looked and looked. Ah, yeah, we have, you said, in that exact voice. And then you looked and looked and looked and couldn't find it. So we used it. And I used the, in the newsletter, the upcoming newsletter, I used the Texas versus California one, yeah. Although we had discussed the bullcrap one.
Yes, but it was all off center. Nothing made
everything
sense.
Everything was wrong. I thought it was associating the 100% bullcrap with no agenda, even though he's crapping on him. I had to decide against it.
So now we thank our executive and associate executive producers, and we start off. He comes in monthly when we're lucky, and when I say lucky, it's because that means he's still alive. It always comes in cash. He sends it from there's like a brown stain on the paper I can see here on the scan, or is that a blood stain? Is that a
that was chocolate? I was having ribs for lunch.
Okay.
And that's the barbecue sauce.
$2,743. Now, this is not typical. There's an extra, it's an odd number. So do you have a single in there?
No.
Well, how can you get $43 without a single?
He had, he had a $5 bill and three $2 bills or four $2 bills.
Oh, okay. Math.
Or something. It was some combination that was a $5 bill, which gives you the odd number plus a bunch of twos.
Okay. You sure that's the number? Because these numbers are
no,
code.
No, believe me. I do the number, die. And then Jay does the number. We both do the number. This is the number.
If you have the wrong number, someone could die.
Yeah, I know. That's why we do it twice. I do one, and then Jay double checks, and she gets the same number. And then we compare notes, and boom, it's the number.
And he has a note. And they're always long, but we love reading them. From Seronymous of Dog Patch in Lower Slobovia, thank you to all the producers that make this an important but underfunded source of information.
Yes.
I didn't see Gitmo Nation on Trump's list of tariff nations, yet somehow trade, a.k.a. donations, collapsed. Was the drop from the increased tolling charge collected by most sources of funding transportation? I would also like to thank the workers of USPS for their fine service and, importantly, significant service improvements. After years of a 3 or 4 show interval from mailing to receipt, delivery has improved to a 2 or 3 show interval, regardless of where it's mailed. Important to my peripatetic life. What is peripatetic?
Peripatetic. I can't pronounce that word.
Peripatetic. I got the pronunciation, but what does it mean?
Yeah, look it up.
Well, you look it up while I read. Small commentary regarding the cynical comment on bias. Uh-oh. The mixture of non... probably directed at me. The mixture of non-practicing Catholic and born-again Christian that offers Zionist, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, pro-Palestine, anti-white Christian, nationalist, homophobic, and pro-LGBTQ plus views keep it interesting.
Yeah, and peripatetic is meaning you're traveling from place to place to place, in particular working or based in various places for relatively short periods.
Well, he definitely has a peripatetic life. So it keeps the show interesting with insight from producers, provides great analysis that is both personally and professionally useful. I concur with your observation after Adam's high school presentation that while M5M viewership has declined and is not viewed by younger generations, it continues to be a primary source of news and information for decision makers, especially legislators and investors. It is, how about that? It is also a primary source of news for TikTok, X, and Insta prognosticators. I've noted that the alternative media's so-called news is often a reaction to M5M reports and rarely offer primary sources, despite former M5Mers becoming podcasters.
Good point.
Just another cacophony of opinions offering their version of truth. No jingles, no karma. From Sir Dogpatch, a Seronymous of Dogpatch, and Lois Labovia. And we thank you, as always, for your courage and for your support.
Yeah, thank you. Now we go to $1,000 donor, Rosie Lincolns.
Wow.
Lankens in Landisville, Pennsylvania. And wrote in a hard copy note, just to prove that it's a note. I shake it. ITM John and Adam, thank you for all you do. I found you in 2020. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the sanity and humor, plus the information that can't be found anywhere else. Or at the minimum, days before other outlets. Well, sometimes months, yes, and sometimes years. We've had years.
Yeah, we have.
I enjoy No Agenda with my son, and it also saved his sanity in this crazy world. Well, good for us. It has been a great bonding experience for us. I have a small recurring donation. Come on, No Agenda Nation. It's a cup of coffee each month. She has that in parentheses, note in the side. Yes. And I've been saving for a knighthood for my son for his 22nd birthday on May 22nd. I don't know if he's on the birthday list. You should check.
I'm going to check.
And his graduation with an Associates of Science degree in welding.
Yeah, good kid. Excellent. Well,
he'll be employed forever.
Yes.
Please de-douche us.
You've been de-douched.
So is that two? Because it's two of them.
I think just, she says us, but she's been donating, so just him. Because she says he can't possibly start his career as a douchebag. And please read the following quote. Quote, Paul, you're the best kid in the universe. You have lit up every day of my life since you were born, and now you'll be a knight. Congratulations on your graduation and enjoy this next chapter in the journey we call life, unquote. Love, Mom, Jingles, Noodle Gun, and John's Mac and Cheese, finalized by a goat karma. Thank you, Rosie Lincolns.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face with my noodle gun, you racist piece of shit. I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
You slaves can get used to mac and cheese, macaroni and cheap cheddar melted together.
Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Hey, everybody.
You've got karma.
All right. That's a mom. That's a mom, everybody. Anonymous Black Sheep comes in from Maryville, Tennessee, 41058. Gentlemen, thank you for your courage. I'm headed to Asia for my military contracting gig. Won't be as enlightening as the last two sandbox trips, but much more comfortable. I get a three-bedroom apartment in the not-communist sector of Korea. Wifey is joining me for a few weeks, as well as one of my all-Navy wrestling teammates and his wife. Sure to be a hoot. Adam, I love that you affirm your faith during the podcast. Reaffirms my own decision, and we feed off each other in the community of Christ. God bless you both. Amen, brother. He says, Jingles, nice Christian jingle, boogity, boogity, boogity. That's true. And R2D Karma for the realm.
You've got karma.
He has a request for the knighting table.
I don't see that.
Tito's and soda with lime and some real empanadas from Texas.
I'm so sorry. Well, it's below the cell. Excel sucks balls. Yes. Okay. I thank you for noticing that. I did not see that. No, it was, I had to hit, go into the cell and then scroll down. You know what I mean?
Matthew Vandemar in Bailey, Colorado, 350.95. Greetings. No jingles, no karma. Be well. That's all he says. He does have a little note for you, though, but it's not to be read.
Okay. Well, it's to be read, and I read it, but I won't. But it's not to be read on air. Sir yes. Realm and Dame Elizabeth are in Gardner, Kansas. By the way, just email me, Matthew. I'll tell you all about it. Comes in with $3.50 and 58 cents. John Adam, we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary today, May 28th. 25 years, and they never had a fight. And they're doing that with an executive producership to the best podcast in the universe. Thank you for all that you both do to keep us sane. No jingles, just health karma for our sister-in-law who is fighting ALS. Sir Real and Dame Elizabeth, protector and keeper of the hobby farm. You betcha.
You've got karma.
Now we have Cody from Houston, Texas, 330-333. And he has a note that he sent in. And to prove it's a note, I can shake it. This is one of the things. This has been, Cody's been working on this note for getting us to do this on the right day.
Yes.
ITM, John and Adam, I've been a douchebag for too long. Been listening since Adam's 2020 appearance on Joe Rogan. And I haven't missed a show. Please accept my... Okay, we'll accept your de-douching.
Wait a minute. What note are you reading?
Cody's note. Cody in Houston. It's note number 5 on the
PDF. Oh, I see. Okay, yes, I'm sorry. Okay, de-douching. You want to de-douche?
You've been de-douched.
I'll keep this short. Well, it's not that short, but it's short. But meaningful. Ah, I lost my dad when I was 5 months old and then my mom to cancer when I was 19. John is my dad's age and Adam is my mom's. Okay. So listening to you both feels like hearing them in another life. Oh. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, we'll go for it. Thank you for years of media deconstruction, laughs, and jingles that keep me grounded in this crazy world. You're both like the lanterns in the dark.
Lanterns in the dark.
That's us.
Yeah.
It's my 33rd, oh, there you go, 33rd birthday on May 28th. No better way to celebrate than giving my executive producer donation, or than giving a executive producer donation. He has a funny way of putting possessives. Please add me to the birthday list. Can I get a 33 is a magic number, biscuit on my birthday, and a quick L Sharpton respect? Much love, and may you never find an exit strategy. Cheers! To you both, Cody in Houston, Texas.
33, that's a magic number. It's the magic number.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
And Sir Tigger Max is in Coeur d'Alene in Idaho, and 333.33, and he is on note page number 4. I have it here. ITM hosers, what better way to celebrate being an executive producer than to applaud your expose of the PBS NPR socialist shills?
Right.
And so I, unfortunately I didn't, see all of this. Hold on. Cause he has some jingles that he wanted. And I'm looking for him now cause he wanted this. He says, Scott Shimon. Okay. I have something there. Elitist voices, bullshit. Yeah. I have that one somewhere. Jeez. Sorry about this. I was unprepared. Got that one. And little kid, we're all gonna die. Oh my goodness. Gonna die. Yes.
Too many.
It is too many, but now I'm already in it. And the window chime sound from John just to rile me up. And he wants the elitist voices. Okay, I think I got
elitist
it all.
Elitist voices of America. This is NPR or PBS.
Suffer and succotash. I'm Scott. Simon.
Bullshit. We're all gonna die.
Okay. W. Vincent Roland. Sir Tigger Max. There you go, brother. We did it all for you. On the floor.
Oh, yeah. James and Yonkers. 333.33. And this is a challenging note. Handwritten. A little lengthy, but not too bad. He does want to, wants to start, he has it at the end, but we're going to start off with a call out to GC as a douchebag. Douchebag. And James here needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
And he writes, shout out to my smoking hot wife who hit me in the mouth when we started dating about 2 years ago. I've been a short on cash ever since.
Yeah, it's a coincidence.
I wonder why. Actually, I was dead broke when she met me. But not short on scruples. I hit people in the mouth every chance I get, but a few shows back, my very own keeper called me out as a douchebag. Wow. Good for her.
Yes, good job.
So I reckon we're skipping date night to add some treasure to the no agenda coffers. Excellent idea. Just kidding. This looks like an overdue. You guys have provided immeasurable value to us. Big thank you for everyone working behind the scenes. There's a lot of people. Also, please don't rage quit or quit.
I quit.
We'll do it live. Or quit it all, for that matter, because you guys are doing such a huge service to everyone worldwide. This is a fact. Spreading truth and cutting through the noise, it really makes the world a better place. Thank you for your courage. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's nice.
Thank you for your courage and all the time and energy you put into the show. I know it takes sacrifice, mostly to our pocketbooks, but most of us are struggling too.
Yeah.
It isn't that we take you for granted. It's only truly only 4 more years. Please train a successor.
Larry and Darren are on deck.
F cancer for my aunt. It's true. Classic. It's a true. He wants cancer. It's true. The classic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I love my truck. James West Orange.
Okay.
That's true.
You've got karma.
I love my truck and I love what I do.
Dame Girl Kyle and Sir Jackie Green from Orangeville. Jackie Green from Orangeville, California, 333. And all they say is TYFYC, thank you for your courage. And we thank you for your courage and your support.
Since that was short, you can read the next one because I can't.
Brian McIver in Portage, Michigan, 32. This donation, hold on a second. Make sure I got this because I can see. Yes, gents, thanks for all you do. I'll keep it short. Famous last words, you didn't. But I'd like this donation to cover a few bases. Two families are out in Colorado Springs this week to celebrate the wedding of my daughter, Hope, to Jake Hughes, who some may remember was saved from a full-blown douchebag call-out during his bachelor party thanks to a boobs donation on episode 1739. You're welcome, Jake. But today we're taking it to a new level, an unprecedented quadruple boobs donation in order of four incredible men who graduated today from the United States Air Force Academy. That's right, four roommates from Squadron 40, the mighty Warhawks, now freshly minted lieutenants. Jack Hughes. That's right. Jack Hughes, my new son-in-law this Friday. Nick Langenberg, whose stepdad Jeff will still cook him on the moguls any day. Ski moguls, I guess. Jacob Lawrence proudly finished number 60 in the graduating class. Well done, Jacob. And Asa Arnold, just the greatest guy rounding out this remarkable quartet. These guys, who were once just bachelor party hooligans, have done something truly extraordinary. What they've chosen to do is to volunteer for and what they've accomplished humbles me. We should all be proud of the young men and women who take this path. Congratulations to Jake and Hope on their wedding and to Nick, Jacob, Asa. I don't know if it's Asa probably. I'm just guessing. And the entire graduating class of 2025 from Squadron 40, congratulations, lieutenants. You've made your families and your country proud, and I concur with Brian McIver from Portage, Michigan. Good job, boys. Real American, sons of America there. Love that.
Bonnie Blank Shane in Fort Lauderdale, 226. ITM Adam and John, Bonnie Ray here. What started as a deep personal passion has now become a business. I've officially launched my own company, Bonnie's Bullets
nice.
And Barrels.
I got to take a look at this.
Bunny's bullets.
Bullets.
If you're
and
a producer
barrels.
In the South Florida area looking for learn how to defend and protect yourself, I've got you covered. From beginners to those looking to sharpen their skills, I offer personal training in a welcoming, empowering environment to show you how to shoot right.
Yeah.
One-time discount ITM24 for 20% off any personal lessons. And the website is bunniesbulletsandbarrels.com. Follow on Instagram at Bonnie's Bullets and Barrels.
So this is mainly for women.
Thank you for your support. It truly means a lot. Thank you for your courage. She writes at the end. Yeah, a women's nice. The women out there wants to know how to shoot, which is a good idea.
This is fantastic. We need much more of this. Women should be trained how to use handguns and defend themselves. And Bonnie's Barrels and Bullets and Barrels does it. A good name, too. Thank you, Bonnie. Sean Holman, Noblesville, Indiana, 2/19/11, associate executive producership for him. And he says, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, in all your ways, not most of your ways, in all your ways. That's right.
And guess what other one you can read?
Grant and Sean in Mendham, New Jersey, 210. Switcheroo! There we go, switcheroo. Hi, John and Adam. We've been listening to your show twice a week for almost 2 years now and love it. We were turned onto it by our good friend, Rich Fontaine, whom I'd like to give this associate executive producership credit to. Okay.
Nice.
Change that right away. Make sure we get Rich in there. Bada bing, bada boom. We are News 2A, News2A.com, NEWS number 2A, News2A.com, a widely read Second Amendment news and media company with a bullpen full of established authors such as John Petrolino, the Penn Patriot. He was the Second Amendment Foundation's 2024 Journalist of the Year. He's an excellent writer and was our first supporter and just a solid dude. And we actually just got our first piece today from Mark Smith of the Four Boxes Diner and member of the Trump Transition Team. You guys love to talk about Pam Bondi. A fun feature we recently added, given her past position on gun rights, is the Pam Bondi Action Ticker.
Tracker.
An easy-to-use, near real-time timeline with a simple thumbs-up, thumbs-down rating on every Second Amendment action the Justice Department has taken to date under Pam Bondage. That aside, our meat and potatoes is publishing Second Amendment news about court cases, laws, proposed legislation, etc. Similar to how you deconstruct the media, we try to demystify Second Amendment news and litigation for the common man with our In Layman's Terms section that can be found at the top of many of our articles. We also do layman's terms for those that simply don't have the time to read the articles. We sum it up in a sentence or two for those folks. By the way, we are based out of North Jersey, so we're behind enemy lines. Just a reminder, we can be found at news2a.com. We are also very active on X, and everybody should follow us at news2a team on X. And thank you very much. Rich will get the credit.
Eli, the coffee guy's up. He's in Bensonville, Illinois, 20529. We have some great news to announce, he writes. 5-pound bags of coffee are now available on our website. Whether you need good bulk coffee for the office or stocking your underground bunker, or you drink coffee by the gallon like me, we got you covered. So visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use code ITM20 to get your big-ass bag of coffee today. Stay caffeinated. You know, his bags are actually, I think they're like 11 ounces or 12.
He's got big-ass bags.
Mm-hmm. They're the perfect fit for the Breville coffee. They have the grinder.
You can throw the whole thing in there? The whole bag?
The whole bag fits right to the top, and then you push the lid down, and it's perfect fit. I think it's designed for that.
Nice. And winding it up of the final associate executive producer today is the one, the only, from Lakewood, Colorado, with $200, Linda Lou Patkin. And she says, Jobs Karma, for a resume that showcases your unique value proposition, tells a compelling career story, and highlights your standout accomplishments, visit it. Wow, new copy.
No, she's got new copy?
I got to read that copy again. It's brand new. For a resume that showcases your unique value proposition, tells a compelling career story, and highlights your standout accomplishments, visit ImageMakersInc.com and work with Linda Lou. That's ImageMakersInc.com. Linda Lou, the Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes. Wow, nice one, Linda Lou.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
You left off the kicker.
Oh, did I miss something on the spreadsheet again? I got to get a different spreadsheet program.
No, the kick.
Oh, I see it here. She makes you shine. I didn't see that. I'm sorry, Linda Lou. Bad read.
We're doing cold reads of Linda Lou's copy.
Yeah.
Well, is a challenge.
It literally did not show up in I'm going to use a different product. Excel is lame. And now before we move on, I got a note from Sir Mr. F. He says, I've been a $20 a month sustainer since 2017 and a dude named Ben for 15 plus years. He wanted to know if we really do break for nights. And I said, yes. I've been unemployed long enough that we've cut every necessary expense except for my unbroken monthly sustaining donation to No Agenda. But I'm a month away from having to cancel my sustaining donation because it's unfair of me to ask my wife to sacrifice while I continue the $20 a month donation. Since new jobs can often be about who you know, I'm tapping the greatest network of like-minded slaves between Portland, Oregon and Longview, Washington, so this dude named Ben can continue his 8-year-long unbroken monthly donation. Ping, boltcomputer@gmail.com. That's boltcomputer@gmail.com. Bolt? Yeah, B-O-L-T, Bolt. boltcomputer@gmail.com for resume and further details. Cheers, Sir Mr. F. And I will give you a jobs karma for that.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
And that really concludes our first slew of supporters, $50 and above. We thank everybody. We'll be thanking more in our second donation segment. Affiliates, attention, we're going long today with the show, but of course that is because we are. We're going long. But look at all the people we had to thank. Look at all the great news we had. It was all bottled up inside us. We needed to get it out. It's hard for us to take a day off. It's ridiculous, really, because we just want to give you the truth, the information, man. Am I right? What did you do on your day off? You did nothing. You puttered around.
I did nothing.
Thank you to our executive and associate executive producers of episode 1768.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's right, slaves. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. I wanted to play this. Not just because of my faith, but there was something that I think the president screwed up on in this particular clip. We recently had the National Day of Prayer, and President Trump made a big deal of it at the White House. But there's something we need to comment on because he had a perfect opportunity to talk about it, and maybe he doesn't understand it. So hopefully someone can talk to him about it.
We could not have asked for a more beautiful day than this, and maybe that means something that brings us a little luck. But it's a great honor, and I'm delighted to welcome you to this very special place, the White House, to celebrate the annual National Day of Prayer. And we're doing it up big. This is the first time they've done it this way, and you deserve it. We all deserve the White House. The White House is special. We're bringing back religion in our country, and we're bringing it back quickly and strongly. Because for America to be a great nation, we must always be one nation under God, a phrase that they would like to get rid of, the radical left. But Ben, I don't think we're going to let them get rid of that, right? We're not letting them get rid of that. They say separation between church and state, they told me. I said, all right, let's forget about that for one time. We said, really, separation? I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not sure. But whether there's separation or not, you guys are in the White House where you should be, and you're representing our country, and we're bringing religion back to our country, and it's a big deal. So this is going to be really 4 years of celebration. So get ready. And we're going to always bring God with us. We're going to bring God to those celebrations. We're not going to forget about God.
So you were already laughing about it. I hear this all the time on left-wing podcasts and shows. And it's like, separation between church and state. There's no God in government.
But that is a misunderstanding of the founding fathers and writers of the Constitution. And I'll just revisit the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, they put this at the beginning because they felt it was very important, because the founding fathers were all about God in the Bible. Shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Somehow, this has been transmorgified into separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution. It means that Congress cannot tell you what to believe or what to believe in. Congress, the government cannot tell you. It does not mean that people can't bring their beliefs or God into government. And it's just such a strange thing how people just accept this separation of church and state. And here's the president who himself believes, I think he believes in God now, since he feels that God saved him to save America. And who's writing? They have a whole faith office. Who is writing these speeches for him? That was lame. There you go.
Sounded like he ad-libbed him.
Well, but, but come on. Well,
bring, since you brought that in, I might as well bring these clips in, which kind of back you up. This is about the Trans-Maoism.
Yay!
Which is a religion.
Yes, it is.
They don't want to admit it,
mm-hmm.
But it's a religion, and there's some action taking place up in Washington State, and we have the Trans-Maoist clips of Washington State.
So the DOJ and the Education Department are joining forces for a first-of-its-kind investigation. It's digging into Washington State's laws for transgender students. Dan Springer is in Seattle. Dan.
Yeah, Alicia, the Trump administration says it's pretty clear that the Washington State laws on transgender issues violate federal laws, a host of federal laws, and this newly formed joint task force is designed to speed up the crackdown.
Today is going to be a work day.
Students in La Center, Washington, and stand out from the rest of the state for what is not part of their education. Teachers don't ask them for preferred pronouns or alternate names. And if they do identify as transgender, a meeting is set up with their parents. School officials say not to out them, but to include the most important people in their lives.
If I leave the parents out, then I erode that trust. And I'm expected to call home if they want to use sunscreen. But if they're going to change their gender identity, I shouldn't call home.
Okay.
Which is a rule in a lot of states, California being one of them. You have to keep it a secret from the parents.
Oh,
by law.
Is that still a thing? You can't tell the parents?
Yes, it's still a thing.
And by law.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. No one's been made an example of yet for violating this law, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
As things progress, but here we go with the second half of this guy.
La Center calls it a pro-family policy and is fighting to keep state funding because state law says parents must be kept in the dark if that's what students want. Two sets of school records, one parents can see and one they can't. And that has triggered an unprecedented federal joint investigation by the Education and Justice Departments. Education Secretary Linda McMahon writes, Washington State appears to use its position of authority to coerce its districts into hiding gender identity information from students' parents and to adopt policies to covertly smuggle gender ideology into the classroom. Some female athletes are also speaking out. Annalie Wilson says she's competed against and lost to three biological boys in the last year.
I don't want this to keep happening to other girls. I don't want other girls to have to experience this. So if I need to talk about it and stand up for other girls, I will.
But state school superintendent Chris Reichdahl is digging in, calling the federal investigation an alarming attempt to infringe on the rights of our transgender and gender expansive students. And of course, millions and millions of dollars are at stake here, not only for the state of Washington, but all of its school districts. In La Center alone, they get 80% of their operating budget from Olympia. It's all now at risk. Alicia?
Did you hear the new term in there?
No, what was it?
Gender expansive.
Wow. What is gender expansive?
I'm surprised you didn't hear it. It was right at the near the end. I have no idea. I've never heard this. It's a brand new term, gender or something, and gender expansive.
Oh my, is it the very end? I want to hear that.
I'd say within 10 seconds of the end.
Talk about it and stand up for other girls. I will.
But state school superintendent Chris Reichdahl is digging in, calling the federal investigation an alarming attempt to infringe on the rights of our transgender and gender expansive students.
Of course, millions and millions of dollars are at stake here, not only for the state of Washington, but all of it.
Gender expansive students. I like it.
What do you like about it? What does it mean?
Well, I want to use expansive for all kinds of things. I'm a podcast expansive student, a gender expansive student. So they expand their genders?
I have no idea. Maybe. Yeah. Well, if you look by pure definition.
Well, let's
yeah,
ask
you expand Grok. You were a male and now you're all kinds of things.
Let's ask Grok. What? Does Grok. Why not? Does
no, the you're term right. Right.
Gender expansive mean? Okay. All right, Grok. Sock it to me, Grok. The term gender expansive refers to individuals whose gender identity or expression extends beyond the traditional binary categories of male and female. Oh, cats.
Cats, right. The litter box.
It encompasses a wide range of gender identities, including non-binary, gender queer, gender fluid, agender, I'm a Noah gender, and other identities that don't conform to societal norms of gender. Gender expansive people may express their gender in ways that challenge or transcend conventional expectations, embracing a more fluid, flexible, or inclusive understanding of gender. Okay. Well, we're
that
up to
speed. Sounds like a crock of shit if ever there was.
We're up to speed, Boomer. We know what's going on. Well, on that note, one of our producers works at Amazon. I think in a managerial role, so this person shall go unnamed, but sent me a screenshot of a policy memo that came out to management at Amazon. Understanding Gen Z interns. Would you like to understand Gen Z interns?
Oh, I would love. This sounds like a gold mine.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, here we go. The majority of our program's interns, though certainly not all, are Gen Z. In fact, Gen Z is well on their way to becoming the most influential group in the workplace. Research shows that Gen Z priorities and work expectations have shifted in order to hire and retain Gen Z talent. Training and management styles must shift as well. Outlined below is a high-level overview of current trends surrounding Gen Z employees and some best practices that can be leveraged throughout the internship. Are you ready?
This is going to be good. Now, and as a backgrounder, I want to mention that Jamie Dimon came out with some commentary about Gen Zs in the workplace.
Do you have a clip?
And there's been a lot of different, I don't have a clip, unfortunately, but there's been I'll get one. There's been a lot of, and we do it on this show, commentary about Gen Z's work habits, coming in late and thinking it's okay, and all these characteristics that make them problematic as employees because they didn't have jobs when they were in school, and they didn't learn much when they were in school, and they don't have recess anymore, and a lot of them are fat.
Wow. Okay. Gen Z employees, ... And here's some bullet points. Bullet point one. Want to feel valued, included, and empowered at work.
Noodle boy.
Noodle boy. Point two. Want to feel they are making an impact. Appeal to their need to accomplish something beyond themselves with purpose and contribute to a higher ideal. This renews motivation and engagement. Third point. Are less inclined to work with managers that micromanage. Allow them some level of autonomy to try new things and grow new skills. Simultaneously, you should be available to guide and provide support when needed. Point four, Gen Z's value work-life balance. And point, get to work. And point five, Gen Z's value sustainability. From these factors, we see community engagement and support as equally important to interns as understanding their project and how Amazon evaluates their work. Managers own their interns' experience, making the work you do to meet these needs critical. Oh, they sound like royalty.
That's an interesting series of kind of meaningless bullet points.
Yeah,
they value their work-life balance. So who doesn't?
But, I mean, it's just like, why are they so special? Are you afraid of, I guess they're afraid of losing them because the Gen Zers, if they don't get their way, then they will not want to work for Amazon. That's how I read this memo. It sounds
well. The Jay-Z, Jay-Z.
The Jay-Zers.
Gen Z has put themselves in a position of dominance, if that's
power,
true.
Power. Yes. Power. Power.
So they pulled it off, if that's true. But at some point, you've got to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're paying you money to do something.
Yeah.
Don't need, you're getting, it's not like you're doing, well, if you're an unpaid intern, then I think you can
I think interns at Amazon get paid something.
I'm sure they do. And so they get paid. Interns. It's just a temporary job, but you still get
but
paid.
But from now on, Gen Zers to be known as Jay-Zers. That's it.
Jay-Z.
It's no agenda vocabulary at this point.
It happens.
Hey, so it seems that the United States is pulling away from any support of Israel. President Trump, I think, is mad at Benjamin Netanyahu, and probably with good reason. Things are taking quite a turn for the worse in Gaza, or where the Palestinians live, as they're starving, and the Israelis are blaming it on the United Nations.
These chaotic scenes in a UN warehouse underscore the desperation of starving Palestinians in Gaza. For more than 2 months, Israel stopped humanitarian aid entering the enclave. Supplies had been slowly trickling in, but the center became overrun with people taking what they could. The World Food Programme said there were injuries and death. It's the same situation across Gaza. Nearly 500,000 people are in a catastrophic situation of hunger, starvation, illness, and death, according to the World Health Organization. The UN condemned a US-backed aid system that has been recently distributing humanitarian supplies. The head of UNRWA said they used to have 400 distribution centers in Gaza, but now it's 3 or 4 maximum under the new model. Israel says it is doing its part, but accused the UN of worsening the situation.
There are more than 400 trucks already on the Gaza side of the fence, waiting to be distributed, but the UN has failed to pick them up. We opened the crossings, we provided safe routes for those trucks, but the UN did not show up. So let me be clear, the UN must stop spreading panic and start moving aid. Put your ego aside, pick up the aid, and do your job.
Well, this is interesting. They say the UN is not doing their job?
That's what they say.
I have a clip here from...
It might be, the UN might be not... It's possible that the UN's not doing their job just to further humiliate Israel.
Yeah.
To make it worse on purpose.
That's possible. It's not a good situation. Here is Judge Knapp's podcast, as we always... By the way, almost no one sent me any podcast clips or time codes of anything. What does not count is some dude on Instagram talking about the weather.
I think this is going to be the standard. We're going to have to do our own research. I think people listen to certain podcasts, but they just don't want to go through the effort of clipping. There's not that many people that know how to clip.
You don't have to clip. You can just.
I don't think they even want to bother.
You can, apps like Podverse and Fountain, you can actually clip in the app, it helps you make a clip. Some people send that to me, but usually it's an ISO of someone saying no agenda.
It is stuff we don't use.
Get a lot of that. This is Judge Knapp's podcast, Judging Freedom.
And the worst. This guy's turned out to be some of the worst material.
I thought this was rather interesting.
Free Palestine. This is exactly the same chant we heard on October 7th. On that day, thousands of terrorists stormed into Israel from Gaza. They beheaded men. They rape women. They burn babies alive. Free Palestine is just today's version of Heil Hitler. They don't want a Palestinian state. They want to destroy the Jewish state. I could never understand how this simple truth evades the leaders of France, Britain, Canada, and others. They're now proposing to establish a Palestinian state and reward these murders with the ultimate prize. You won't be surprised to learn that Hamas thanked President Macron and Prime Minister Starmer and Carney for demanding that Israel end its war in Gaza immediately. Now, these leaders may think that they're advancing peace. They're not. So don't give us this talk. It'll be a peaceful Palestinian state. It won't be.
Can anybody take seriously this equation of free Palestine with Heil Hitler? Hasn't 95-98%, according to Jeff Sachs, of the countries in the United Nations voted to accept Palestine as a member country, as a sovereign state, and it keeps getting vetoed by the United States in the Security Council?
Yeah, that's precisely true. Something like 140 countries, I believe the number is.
Netanyahu is going a little bit overboard with this is the new Heil Hitler.
Well, I think he's in trouble.
No kidding. He's gone so far that even Trump doesn't want to deal with him right now. Or at all.
Yeah, Trump. Well, because there's this... That may be a ploy, though. It's possible that if Trump's negotiations with Iran don't go the way he wants, Israel can attack Iran and blow up a bunch of nuke sites, which they've done before in Syria and elsewhere.
Yeah.
They could blow it up and Trump can be, I tried to stop him.
Interesting.
So Trump maybe it's, what is it called? When you don't want to be in a loop so you can have a plausible deniability.
Yes, the classic American plausible deniability. Well,
so that's possible.
President Trump is mad at everybody. He is mad at Putin now.
U.S. President Donald Trump appears to be changing his tone when speaking of his Russian counterpart. While he has normally heaped praises on Vladimir Putin, even once calling him genius for invading Ukraine in 2022, on Sunday he said Putin started to go too far.
I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
Trump's criticisms come after a weekend in which Russia and Ukraine traded 1,000 prisoners of war each, but that also featured massive Russian drone and missile attacks. From Saturday to Sunday, Russian forces launched the largest aerial attack of the war so far, hitting cities across Ukraine, killing several people and wounding many others.
So while that's happening, on
that clip.
Yeah.
I have a clip, by the way, I don't want to miss. On that clip and all the clips, it says the same thing. The greatest, most massive attack they've ever done, and it killed 3 people. I mean, there's something wrong with the reporting. I mean, if it's a massive, biggest attack ever, which is what they say in that report.
They do.
And they say it in all the reports. And it kills like 3 people and injured a child. They usually throw that in.
No, well, of course.
So what are these things hitting that they're not really doing? But that if it's the most massive of all time, shouldn't it thousands of people be killed?
No, it's just big booms. Big gnat pops.
There's something fishy about this whole thing.
Well, it's part of the negotiation, and they're going to meet in Istanbul for the second time. Should I play your PBS clip for the update?
Yeah, this is the update of the update. This was released yesterday.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky was in Berlin today, appealing to his country's biggest military backer in Europe. Germany's new chancellor, Friedrich Merz, offered to help Ukraine build its own long-range missile systems that could strike deep into Russia, a move Moscow called provocative. Zelensky said the military muscle is necessary.
You can all see what Putin is doing every night.
night. Massive drone attacks, hundreds of drones. In order to protect lives in our cities, we need constant support.
Ukraine said that Russia's latest strikes on the city of Kharkiv overnight killed one person and injured seven others, including a child. That comes as a United Nations panel today found that Russian attacks on civilians in Ukraine's Kherson province amounted to crimes against humanity. Its report concluded that, quote, these acts were committed with the primary purpose to spread terror among the civilian population in violation of international humanitarian law. Meantime, back in Washington, President Trump expressed frustration at the timing of recent attacks.
I'm very disappointed at what happened a couple of nights now where people were killed in the middle of what you would call a negotiation. I'm very disappointed by that.
That frustration comes as Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, pushed a new round of talks for next Monday in Istanbul. Ukraine has not yet committed to taking part.
Yeah, perfect lead-in. Here's the report about the second meeting in Istanbul.
Russia has proposed to hold a second round of direct peace negotiations with Ukraine. Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, made the announcement on Wednesday. The announcement comes after Turkish foreign minister Hakan Fidan concluded a two-day trip to Moscow, where he met with Lavrov and President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump says he's, quote, very disappointed with his Russian counterpart's decision to escalate fighting. He also stated that it will be clear to him soon whether Putin is sincerely looking for peace or not, as he warned of a potential shift in Washington's approach.
We're going to find out whether or not he's tapping us along or not. And if he is, we'll respond a little bit differently, but it'll take about a week and a half, 2 weeks. We have Mr. Witkoff is here, who's doing a phenomenal job, is dealing with them very strongly right now. They seem to want to do something, but until the document is signed, I can't tell you.
The Kremlin's proposal comes at a time of increased Russian bombardment of Ukraine and heightened tensions. Moscow says it's ready to end the war if Ukraine eliminates what it calls the root causes of the crisis.
So I was only able to find one report on the details of the proposed talks, and that came from boots on the ground at France 24. I think this woman's in Ukraine.
As it stands, the Russian proposals haven't changed since 2022, and they amount to a capitulation of Ukraine. And it's not something that Ukrainian troops or the Ukrainian government are ready to do. Constitutionally, this is Ukrainian territory, and on a legal standpoint, Ukraine will also not recognize that those regions are partially occupied by Russia. There's another bone of contention. It is the fact that Russia wants a written promise by Ukraine and its allies on the non-expansion of NATO eastwards. And that's also something that Ukraine is not ready to do, because Ukraine has a security guarantee to try and prevent any future attack of Russia on its own sovereign territory. While Ukraine still is seeking to join NATO, even if Kyiv also knows that it's not going to happen in the near future, to show the position also of Ukraine's allies. The Netherlands said earlier this week that Volodymyr Zelensky was a welcome guest at the next NATO summit. So there are proposals by Russia that on the Ukrainian side wouldn't be acceptable.
Yeah, so Zelensky is invited to the big splash in The Hague, the big splash, the big NATO summit. So that, of course, will not help anything. And it looks like Germany...
No, not at all.
Germany doesn't want any peace at all. Mr. Peepers.
After days of intense Russian shelling across Ukraine, Germany's newly installed chancellor made an announcement that could reshape the war.
There are no longer any range restrictions on weapons delivered to Ukraine, neither from the British, nor from the French, nor from us, nor from the Americans.
His announcement means Germany could soon join the list of countries already supplying long-range missiles. Both Paris and London have sent Storm Shadow and Scalp missiles used to target Russian forces inside occupied Ukrainian territory. And in November, President Joe Biden gave Kyiv the green light to strike inside Russia with the Army Tactical Missile System, ATACMS. For Germany, Monday's move signals a major shift in defense policy and could finally open the door to delivering Taurus. With a longer range than the British and French models, it would give Ukraine the ability ability to hit targets deep behind enemy lines. Friedrich Merz has voiced support for the delivery, but on Monday he didn't confirm whether Germany would go ahead or whether his comments referred to other long-range missiles. But Ukraine, he said, must be allowed to strike back by hitting military targets inside Russia. The Kremlin responded swiftly, saying plans to lift any range limits would be dangerous. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is expected to meet Chancellor Merz in Berlin on Wednesday, according to media reports.
Yeah, that what could possibly go wrong? Give them the Taurus missiles. Of course, it's going to be fine. They just want war, man. They want war.
That's the Germans, of course.
And a new player has entered the game in the northern regions. Since Greenland is just a non-starter, nothing's happening. We haven't bought them yet. No deal has been done. A new player enters. The new prime minister of Iceland. Have you seen her?
No, I have not.
Kristrún Frostadottir? Or something like that?
Yeah, something daughter is always at the end of it.
Frostadottir?
Either son or daughter.
You should look her up.
I'm very happy to be able to come here. This is my first visit to NATO as Prime Minister of Iceland. And this is a very important meeting for us, both in the run-up to the big meeting at The Hague, but also just to strengthen and continue to strengthen our relationship with NATO. We have a new government since end of December, and it's important that we get the message across that this government is very supportive of our presence is NATO in NATO. We are very supportive and head on when it comes to continuing transatlantic relations. Iceland is obviously geographically both in Europe but also in North America. We have tight-knit relations with the EU through our EEA agreement and through NATO presence, but also with the US through a bilateral defense agreement. So that's why always when I meet with EU leaders, when I meet with global leaders, when I met with Mark today, we talk about the importance of this transatlantic unity, and this will always be our message. It's also very important for us to hear, for me to hear, for the general public in Iceland, and also just NATO members as a whole to hear that there's an understanding of Iceland's position. Yes, we are a country without a military, but that doesn't mean we don't have a strong defenses and a role to play in NATO. We came in as a founding member with certain strengths, our strategic position, our facilities. We do our very best to be a strong ally. And like you said, we are conducting and creating for the first time a new security and defense policy where we are focusing on our specific strategic position in NATO. We're willing to spend more when it comes to defense-related investments to strengthen our facilities when it comes to Keflavik Air Base, when it comes to ports, when it comes to general host nation support, and also very good and constructive talks on Arctic security.
Ah, she's going to be a player.
Looks like it, yeah.
She's a player. She's young. She looks like she's early 30s. Yeah, player.
She's got a bunch of... She also is a perky minister for foreign affairs.
Oh, really?
Katrin.
What? I didn't see the minister of foreign affairs.
Yeah, you should look at her. She looks like your wife.
Well, she must be super hot. Hold on a second. Kristrún, so what's her name? The
some Iceland name, Dorberger Katrín Gunnarsdóttir.
Let's see if Katrín Dol Dornberger. There you go.
Well, Dornberger's not her.
Katrina Bol Dornberger. Is that what you just said?
That's not. No. Gunnarsdóttir.
Okay.
It's her last name.
Foreign Minister Iceland. How about that? Maybe that'll work better.
Yeah, that will. You'll get her.
I don't see her. Oh. Okay. Tina's much better looking than that, man. What an insult.
Well, I have a good picture of her. You don't.
No. Did you see the Minister of Social Affairs? Rough.
Inga. Yeah, she looks like a Berkeley liberal. She
looks like an Inga. Wow, it's an interesting group. A reasonably good-looking group. I don't know about Inga. How'd she slip in there? How'd they let Inga into the cabinet?
Well, you're ugly shaming.
Well, that's what we do on the show.
Yes, that's true, but
that's what we
not
do.
So obviously. Well, she's making a play. She wants to get there. You know, she says, screw Greenland. The Icelanders never.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's.
Come on over here. You know, we'll do a deal.
Yeah,
you can have a base right at the north. Iceland's got lots of places you could put a base.
Absolutely. I think
it's
great. And
it's better weather.
It's better weather. on the AI front, I shared this with you. I got a beautiful email from Billy Samoa at podify.media. I wanted to share this because he emailed me and I was very flattered. Subject of the email, have you ever considered a podcast? Adam.
Yeah, this is a classic.
Have you ever imagined thousands of folks tuning in to hear your thoughts? That's what a podcast can do for a very busy executive like you. I'm Billy, CEO at Podify. We handle every step to launch your show, so just share ideas. Curious? Billy Samoa.
I don't believe this was AI generated. I think it was a canned letter that they wrote. It's too short to be AI.
Hmm.
It's not flowery and long, lengthy and boring. And it sounds like just somebody put together a stock letter.
But how did they know I was a busy executive?
Yes, that's the point. It's just a stock letter that they had a mailing list of quote unquote busy executives, and you got one of the mailings.
How did I get on that list?
The point is that these people are doing no work, probably a Gen Zer. You know, just bottom feeding. It's ridiculous. Now, we do have another. That's you brought it up.
I wish you'd started with, Adam, I hope this email finds you well.
I'm surprised with this.
That would have been perfect.
Now, we have a request from one of our producers.
Yeah.
I was going to send him an email telling him to send you this note, which is a long note. But he is an author for an epic new series called The Universal Testament. It's somewhat biblical, I guess. But he wants to put some Easter eggs in his story,
mm-hmm.
which includes a reference to No Agenda spelled backwards and on a Nega show and have us as a couple of characters in as Easter eggs, both spelled backwards kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to know if it's okay with us.
Sounds good to me.
It sounds fine to me. I don't care.
Sounds fine to me, man. Sounds good.
Yeah, we can be. People should incorporate. We've had this happen before where somebody Easter egged us in some storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, final clip for me, the latest SpaceX launch.
And it's liftoff for SpaceX mega rocket Starship. The 123-meter spacecraft traveled further than the two previous launches, which both ended in fiery explosions minutes after takeoff.
Boom! Incredible flip.
The two-stage vehicle consisting of the Starship vessel mounted on a SpaceX Super Heavy rocket booster started off well. Both parts separated as expected.
Ship engine cut off.
However, it wasn't a complete success. There were hopes Starship could complete a test flight and release mock satellites, but that didn't happen. The spacecraft was uncontrollably spinning in space.
I love how their commentators describe it.
Just to confirm, we did lose contact with the ship officially a couple of minutes ago, so that brings an end to the ninth flight test.
It then re-entered the Earth's atmosphere, likely landing somewhere over the Indian Ocean. But SpaceX said it was part of the learning process.
With a test like this, success comes from what we learn, and today's test will help us improve Starship's reliability as SpaceX seeks to make life multiplanetary.
It's the biggest and most powerful launch vehicle ever built, and owner Elon Musk wants it to go where no man has gone before, Mars. His aim is that humans will go to the red planet as early as 2029.
Rapid unscheduled disassembly. Always.
Yeah, I like the way they put it.
My favorite rocket
is a monster. And it's got a really interesting flame.
Well, it has 33 engines.
Just a fabulous product. This is good.
Well, and I think it's true. You know, the test is a test is a test. You know,
it's a test. That's what it's for. It didn't kill anybody.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Killed some fish on the way down.
I want to tease some clips for the next show.
Okay.
I got some climate clips that are going to be dynamite, but I want to play them today. I only have one clip left to play for today.
Yes.
Well, as you know, there's always a these even through the period of time that we've done this show, which is almost 18 years, we've seen recycled news stories, and it's one of the many things that crops
many times.
And my favorite one is always the flying car.
Well, and I'm waiting for one.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing about the flying car since the 70s.
Yes.
And it comes around and goes and comes and goes and comes. And there's a couple of new ones out there. They're complete fakes.
Oh, yeah, phony.
But another story I realized when I saw this one is another story that keeps repeating itself, which is the imminent discovery of Noah's Ark. They found it again.
Scientists exploring a boat-shaped site in eastern Turkey have found compelling signs it could be the real Noah's Ark. With hints of decayed wood and man-made features, researchers are gearing up for a deeper look. Fascinating, because when you dig in that part of the world, everywhere you look, there is history. That would be blockbuster history.
That would be amazing. I'm here for it. I'm going to continue to watch and wait for updates on that one. Yes.
Where was it found this time?
Some in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Turkey, and it looks like a geological formation that kind of looks like a large boat. It's bull crap. I have seen this story crop up every 6 or 7 years.
Yes. Noah's Ark. Let's see. I wonder if we have any previous Noah's Ark discoveries. Noah's Ark ready to open in Kentucky? I remember that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's supposed to be pretty funny to go to.
Welcome back. You have to see it to believe it. A new full-scale replica of Noah's Ark called the Ark Encounter is set to open in Williamstown, Kentucky this Thursday.
That's the Money Honey. That's the Money Honey from 2016. I'm going to look it up on Bing.io. I think that's a good one. I want to find the other Noah's Ark stories. And flying car, yeah, I'm all about it. I'm ready for it.
Flying car comes.
I can't wait.
Have you seen the latest one that flies around with these little propellers that couldn't get anything off the ground? Have you seen this one?
Yeah, it's like a plastic car on top of a drone, and they pretend it's a flying car.
I don't know if that's the one. I don't know. I know is you got four. It's a quadcopter.
Yeah,
with somebody sitting on it, and it's got the props are about 5 inches, maybe. And there's four of them. This thing couldn't lift anything.
It's just
not physically possible.
Is this a single seater?
It's like a motorcycle.
The Jetson? Oh, the motorcycle one.
No, there's two motorcycle ones. You have to keep being a lookout. The one that is the one where he's inside of a hangar.
Yeah.
And the motorcycle takes off and flies inside the hangar, then shoots outside and comes back in.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the eagle who picked up the baby.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on No
Agenda. In the morning. Well, trust me when I say the show is not over yet. We still have our tip of the day coming up. We have our meetup reports, and we have our fabulous end of show mixers. And we also want to thank the rest of our supporters, $50 and above. Quite the list today because it's for two shows. John C. DeVore, go!
Cut three, go.
Let's go.
Mr. Producer, Amy Harmon, Asheville, North Carolina, 133.33, and she wants a goat karma for all Canadians. Okay. Elbows up, slaves. Bro, I don't know what that means. Brian Dowd in Stockholm. We'll put some goat karma at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brian Dowd in Stockholm, New Jersey, 12345. Sir Knighted Deck. Dakota, 12321. Has a very pleasant note. Timothy Lipton, 120. Rami it says Norfolk, Virginia, 11111. But I bet you that's
Norfolk.
That's a check.
Yeah, I bet
that's
too.
Norfolk. Norfolk is the way it's supposed to be pronounced, to be honest about it. Dan the Mead Guy in Colorado Springs, Colorado, 106.75. Oh, the mead guy. Yeah, send me some. I can go for some
mead guy. Yeah.
Mead guy. We need some mead. Jason Campbell in Center Valley, Pennsylvania, 100. People have got these notes. AZ Sunnyside Pro, LLC in Apache Junction, Arizona.
I wonder what they do.
100. Hmm. I have no idea what AZ Sunnyside does. Brandon Brown in Amelia, Ohio, 8195. And he wants a job as karma for his dad. Kevin McLaughlin, there he is. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of American boobs, 8008. Sir Herb Lamb in Sugar Hill, Georgia, another regular, 8008. Dame Shelley in Grand Forks, North Dakota, 8008. Bruce Johnson in Minneapolis, Minnesota, nuts, 8008. And Kevin McLaughlin came in because he's got one for each of the two shows, including the clip show, another 8008.
Wow.
Good for him. He's not missing a show. He's setting some sort of a record here for continuity.
And he is the Archduke of Luna, lover of America, and lover of boobs.
He is a lover of boobs. Jorge Alvarez in Pontevedra Beach, Florida, 7171. Sir Bad Potato. Yeah, he's back. $68. Loves the newsletter. Baroness Monica in Drayton Valley, Alberta, Canada, 6565. Craig Kohler in Evansville, Indiana, 6502, the processor of choice for the donations. Patricia Lombardo, Collegeville, Pennsylvania, 65. She has a little, I'm going to read this one. My mom took me to a Jane Fonda protest in the early 70s when I was a child. We rocked her limousine and people threw eggs at her. Ah, the good old days. Heard a clip of that idiot in the Memorial Day clip show, so that memory hit just right. So she donated $65.
Nice.
Rocked her limo.
Threw eggs at her.
Sir Edward in Omaha, Nebraska, 6422, and he's got a birthday coming up, anniversary, too, for his adoring wife.
Helen.
Johan Seegers in Brie, Belgium, 6396. And he says, thanks for the rain, Adam.
Yep, you got it.
Jonas Freitag. I got a couple notes, too, from people in Holland saying, well, yeah, you guys, that worked.
Yeah, yeah. And we got golf ball-sized hail. You're welcome.
Jonas Freitag in Hamburg, Deutschland, 6325.
From Jonas and Alexandra in Altona. All right, thank you.
We need more Deutschlanders.
Yes.
Matthew Elwart in Weatherford, Texas, 6006. Kyle Twig.
Sir Kyle.
I don't know how to pronounce it. In Liberty Lake, Washington, this is a switcheroo for Lacey Maloney.
No, nice. And a de-douching.
You've been de-douched. He says,
I don't want to smell her douche all weekend, so.
In Walla Walla, where he's doing wine tasting.
Yes, nice.
Which is a good area for it, I might add. Jamie Buell in Vista, California, 6006. This is all small boobs. Sir Latte in Bremerton, Washington, also 6006. Dame Tracy and Sir Canebrake in St. George, Louisiana, 5510. Double nickels on the dime, which is a lost donation. Bart Hendricks in Herten, Holland. Is it Herten?
Herten. Herten. It's the Dutch mountains of Maastricht.
Yeah, 55. Sir Prize in Yukon, Oklahoma, 5444. Sir Chris in Saxey, Texas. Is that right? 5333?
Yeah, I guess.
Kevin Adam in Clover, South Carolina, 5272. The Mexican Hobbit, Chula Vista, 5272 from the Mexican Hobbit. Barnaby Magruder in Mount Washington, Kentucky, 5272. House buying karma, please, we'll give you some karma at the end. Dame Rita, there she is in Sparks, Nevada, 5242. And she says, thanks for the twice weekly dose of sanity.
And laughter.
And we appreciate the fact that she donates almost every show now for some.
Yeah, well.
New reason. She likes it. I don't care.
She likes it.
I'm encouraging it. Sean Hines in Austin, 5169, ITM. Baroness Knight in Edmonds, Washington, 5015. And now we got the $50 donors, a few of those. And I'm just going to do the name and location if I have a location. Alex Delgado in Aptos, California, Bruce Bear in New Stanton, Pennsylvania, Melissa Alvarez in Ponte de Vervedra Beach. We got people there. Brett Denton in Boise, Jacqueline Connolly in Green Bay, George Wuchet in Lavernia, Texas, Aaron Weisgerber in Bend, Oregon, Steve Greb in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, Richard Gardner, I think he's in New York, Leif Erickson in Meridian, Idaho, Bobby Bowe in Bluegrass, Iowa, R, just plain R, parts unknown. Marcus says R from parts unknown.
R,
the letter R caps. Mark Lay in Houston, Texas. This actually came in from Jen Tyson and his switcheroo to Titus. Titus gets credit. Titus Tyson in Monument, Colorado. John Fitzpatrick in Heber Springs, Arkansas. And last on our list here is Michael Myers. This is for two shows. Michael Myers in Mandeville, Louisiana. I want to thank all these people for making show 1767 reality that it is.
1768 even. Yeah.
I thought it was 1767.
No, that was the last show. We weren't here for that, remember? That was
okay, I got my, yes, I didn't count it.
Thank you to all of these supporters, $50 and above. Again, thank you to our executive and associate executive producers for this episode. Those credits are real and good for a lifetime. You can use them anywhere Hollywood credits are recognized for as long as Hollywood still exists. Never anything under 50 for reasons of anonymity, but we do have those sustaining donors. We appreciate you very much. Go to noagendadonations.com to donate any amount, any number you want. You can do the sustaining donation, any amount, any frequency. It's all up to you. It's value for value. If you get anything out of the show, send it back to us. noagendadonations.com. House buying karma, jobs karma, goat karma.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You saw. Karma.
And once again, noagendadonations.com. Rosie Lynx wishes her son Paul a happy birthday. He turned 22 on the 22nd. Sir Edward the Henpecked wishes his adoring wife Helen a very happy birthday on May 23rd. And of course, I think they also had an anniversary they're celebrating. Cody turned 33 on May 28th. Sir Recalcitrant Crazy Steve II wishes Lavis from Behind the Schemes a happy birthday, as do I, May 29th. That would be today. And Dame Kylie of the Double D Cups says happy birthday to Sir Andy of Terrigal Beach. He turns 57 tomorrow. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday, yeah. Title changes, turning faces, ladies. Title changes. And we have a title change for Sir Kevin Smith, who supported the show with a total additional of $1,000, for which we are very grateful. And he now becomes a Baron and will henceforth be known as Baron Kevin Smith. And we appreciate you very much. We do have one knight today, Paul Lincolns, and he is standing by near the round table of the Knights and Dames. As I grab my blade and you have yours out at the ready, I
think. There you go.
They're very good. Paul Lincoln, step on up, right up here on the podium. Watch your step. You, sir, have supported the best podcast in the universe with $1,000. And therefore, you become a knight of the No Agenda Roundtable. And I'm very proud to pronounce thee as Sir Paul Lincoln's Knight of the No Agenda Roundtable. That means you get your requested Tito's and soda with lime and some real empanadas from Texas. Along with that, we've got warm beer and cold women. We also have pepperoni rolls and pale ales. We got beers and blunts, Ruben S. Women and Rosé, Geisha and Sake, Vodka and Vanilla, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escort, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum, or the always effervescent, always available Mutton and Mead. You, sir, can head over to noagendarings.com. That's where you can see that handsome No Agenda Knight or Dame ring. It's a signet ring, so we will ship it off with some sticks of wax, which you can use to seal your important correspondence with. And, of course, a certificate of authenticity. But more importantly, we just want to welcome you to the roundtable of the No Agenda Knights and Dames.
No Agenda Meetups.
Yeah, baby, the No Agenda Meetups. That's where you meet people like Steve and Stephanie. who will take you out to lunch, to dinner, even better, when they come through through the hill country. You will meet many people at these meetups. We brought up a lot of fond memories of the super spreader event in Vegas. It was so good. And I wish I could go to every single one of them. It's physically not possible, but they are so much fun. You can find them all at noagendameetups.com. You will find people there who you will connect with, and that connection always brings you protection. They are your first responders in an emergency. And here's a meetup report from the May 25th meetup at Mickey's Irish Pub in Davenport, Iowa.
Wait, what am I going to say?
Hey, Adam and John. This is Todd McGreevy at the Davenport meetup, Davenport, Iowa, at Mickey's Irish Pub. Thanks to Big Nasty, who put together the deal, right, Big Nasty?
That's correct. It's really happening.
It's really happening. He tried it. Thank you for putting it out there, meetups.com. And we have with us other luminaries, Jesse James Anderson, one of the producers, Mike Bernstein, another producer, and Dawn from Milan. Don't forget her. And we love you guys out in Gitmo Nation. Our only message to John and Adam is, please give Catherine Austin Fitz and Scott Horton another chance. Thank you for your courage. In the morning.
Very messy meter reports. You hear that, John? We need to give Scott Horton and Catherine Austin Fitz another chance. So send us some great podcasts with time codes so we can appreciate them more. Hey, there's a meetup taking place now. Probably, no, it's over by now. The Lazarusvaart Picnic in Culemborg in the Netherlands. I think that's done by now. But coming up in just a little bit, the North Idaho Sandy Brigade may meet up 5 o'clock at Trails and Brewery and Brick Oven Pizza in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The North Georgia Monthly Meetup starts at 6 o'clock, Cherry Street Brewing, Alpharetta, Georgia. On Saturday, the No Agenda Central Ohio May Meetup, noon Eastern. Jackie O's in Columbus, Ohio. The South Jersey Meetup for May, also on Saturday, at Double Nickel Brewing Company in Pensauken Township, New Jersey. The Tiny Amygdala of Anchorage, they unite. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Hop WTR, which is hop water, but the brand is H-O-P-W-T-R.
Oh.
And it's not that good.
Okay. The Tiny Amygdala of Anchorage, they will unite at 2 o'clock on Saturday at the Campbell Park Airship Trailhead in Anchorage, Alaska. That should be a blast. Please send us a meetup report. The KC Meetup, based baseball and barbecue edition, 333 at Maple Hill Park in Overland Park, Kansas. The Flight of the No Agenda, number 63. Leo Bravo does it again, 333 Pacific Time, Steelcraft City of Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And Sir Mark is organizing the Red Carpet Meetup for Sir Patrick Cole at 7:30 in 10 Cups in Tokyo, Japan.
Holy moly. Coble's going to Japan?
Coble, he just went to Amsterdam, now he's going to Japan.
I don't know whose dime he's going on. It's not his own.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Unless he's got a gig. I mean, that would make some sense. By the way, the hop water is better than I thought.
Okay. The Duke of the South gets around. And on Sunday, the Indy June 20th, Half on Summer Startup Part 1. What a title. 3 o'clock at Dugout Bar in Indianapolis, Indiana. Of course, Sir Mark and Dame Maria of Greenwood will be hosting that. Just some of the many meetups that you can find at noagendameetups.com. Go there and find out where there's one near you. If there isn't one, start one yourself. It's easy.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you won't be. Triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
It's like a party, everybody. Now we do have a couple of selections for an end of show ISO. It's a thing. We've been doing it for a long time. It's a thing. We like doing it. Although John, of course, is cheating these days. He uses AI. And I just try to get the old isolated clips, just stuff that is kind of fun hanging out there. Do you even have any ISOs?
Nope. I decided not to cheat, as you put it.
Oh, well, then you
get, so I'm giving you the winner.
You get to choose from
you
my
better have something good.
My voice should be heard loud and clear.
So that's my worst.
Yeah, I guess so.
I have no agenda. Good luck for the weekend.
Hmm?
Oh, I hate it when they use artificial.
Yeah, well, it wasn't artificial.
But okay.
Decent, doable.
It's usable.
The whole world is lying.
No.
No, that's too corny.
All right, this has been an emergency pod.
Oh, please.
All right, this has been an emergency pod.
You don't like the emergency pod?
Well, I mean, I like it, but I don't like it as the end. I like that one, the second one.
I have no agenda. Good luck for the weekend.
Yeah, I think we'll go with that.
We'll go with that one. And right now we have the always trusty tip of the day.
Green advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
So in my various iterations of this tip of the day, I have to nerd out once in a while.
Nerding out?
This is a great tip for anyone who has an old computer or they have an old Mac, for example, or they have, or they want to play around, or they had some software that they used to like, and the new stuff does no good.
Mm.
Here's the website. This is one of those sites where you have to put the, I don't know why they do this, but the www is necessary. www.oldversion.com.
Oh, let me check this out. Oldversion.com.
This is old versions of tons and tons and tons of software that won't, stuff that used to run on your Windows 95 machine.
Yeah.
But won't run on Windows 11 and it's something you liked.
Oh, wow. What a list.
The list goes on forever. And this is a great resource for people out there who either want to go back to an old version of a product, which is sometimes better, or they have a machine that won't run a new product, but they like this old product. This is a fabulous site.
I'm looking at it.
It's also Windows, Mac, Linux. They got all this stuff. A lot of games.
They
Android.
Got Wind Patrol. I haven't seen that in a long time. Yeah. LimeWire, BearShare. Oh, Donkey 2000. These are all classics. That is quite interesting. As it's an unsecure site, I might add.
Yeah, it's an unsecure site, and you might have, might be careful. But I think I stumbled onto this, and I said, "Oh my God, this is terrific."
I am in complete agreement. I think that is terrific. I'm going to get me eDonkey 2000 right after the show. I can't wait. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Find more at Tip of the Day. Let John C. Dvorak's Tip of the Day.
Great advice for you and me. Just a tip with JCB.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
And we thank Dana Bernetti, as always, for creating that. Where would we be without Dana Bernetti? We'd be nowhere. Yeah. We'd be nothing. We'd be nobody. End of show mixes. We've got classic from Bill Montanay, brand new Nautilus K, and Sound Guy Steve. Classics, everybody. These are good. You will want to stick around for them. Also coming up next on the stream, we have a walk through the mind of the one and only Billy Bones. This is episode 321, Built Not Bought. Billy Bones is an interesting fellow. So check that out. And you can just keep listening to the stream if you're listening live at trollroom.io or noagenda.stream or your modern podcast app. Thank you, trolls, for being here. And we'll be back on Sunday for more hours of... Wow, we almost did 4 hours today. More hours of infotainment and media deconstruction. Well, we had a lot of people to thank, John. We had a lot of people to thank. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, which is Fredericksburg, Texas. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're still wishing Kennedy a happy birthday, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday. Please join us then for another episode of No Agenda. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Troubles and doubts. It may have problems, but you won't find out, 'cause
places you won't be going. No way, you'll get on a plane without spike protein in your veins, baby. Don't you reject the vaccine. Don't you reject the vaccine. Don't ask questions of me. Shut up, slave. Lift your shirt sleeve. Fauci's calling. Cases falling down.
I spoke to those high school kids here yesterday morning.
Oh, that's right. You were a big, you were the superstar speaker to the high school.
Yes.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Yes. You know what? I spoke to those high school kids here yesterday morning.
And with oh, that's right. You were a big, you were the superstar speaker to the high school.
Yes.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Yes.
Every single thing, even stuff you and I said, is all propaganda.
Hairdos or hats or anything like that,
propaganda. Every single thing, even stuff you and I said, is all propaganda.
Hairdos or hats or anything like that,
propaganda.
President Donald Trump is a yes! MAGA, he's got hats, he's got a slogan. Propaganda. President Donald Trump is a yes! MAGA, he's got hats, he's got a slogan. Propaganda. You know what? I spoke to those high school kids. Propaganda.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Propaganda. Yeah. You know what? I spoke to those high school kids. Propaganda.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Propaganda. Yeah.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Hairdo for hats.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Yes.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Hairdo for hats.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Yes.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Propaganda. President Donald Trump is a yes. Propaganda.
Superstar speaker to the high school.
Propaganda. President Donald Trump is a yes. Propaganda. Hairdos or hats or anything like that. Propaganda. Hairdos or hats or anything like that.
Put simply, propaganda is the dissemination of ideas intended to convince people to think and act in a particular way and for a particular purpose.
New CNN reporting shows there's been a sharp decline in vaccination ads on television.
The COVID-19 vaccines have been proven safe and effective.
There's a lot of misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccine, so it's critical that you get the facts from sources you can trust.
The fact is, the vaccines are safe and effective.
More sickness and death across our nation.
A campaign of shock and awe has begun.
It's all of our responsibility to slow the spread of the coronavirus.
People you know and trust are getting vaccinated.
The most affected are Black women.
Black women. Black women.
Black women.
Everyone has to keep everyone else safe.
The vaccines have all been through and met the necessary safety and quality standards.
Now that every American over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine, I want to talk about you getting yours.
Getting a vaccine can protect not only you, but your loved ones.
The vaccine is safe.
COVID vaccines are safe and effective.
It's effective.
It's effective.
It's easy.
It's free.
And it cannot change your DNA.
The next step on the journey is yours.
Our health is worth a shot.
I beg the public to take this virus more seriously.
The ultimate end game of all this is vaccination.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
I have no agenda. Good luck for the weekend.